Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon. This is Danielle St. John, and the show is Seeds of Change. Today is actually the topic for today is something that, you know, probably every adult should really talk about. And even if you don't have children, but, you know, basically the big news out of California today is that, this week, is that all students have to be vaccinated with the COVID-19 experimental gene therapy in order for them to attend school, public school, in-person school. Now, this is a big problem on a lot of different levels because we know that children aren't driving this virus. We know that there is in just a tiny chance of any complications from COVID to children, for children. And so the fact that, you know, it's a pattern here. I notice patterns that when this mandate started, they started with the educators, but very first were the healthcare providers, right? These mandates, you know, that healthcare workers have to be vaccinated. And I thought that was really odd because, you know, there are people who work with the public every day, such as grocery store attendants that work with the public every day. They don't have the kind of, if you even buy into that, the kind of PPE that is offered, that is, that the medical personnel are using. So why start with the mandates being the hospital? After hospital workers, after healthcare workers have basically been on the front line of this disease since the very beginning, most of them got it. All of them were exposed to it. And if it's as contagious as they say, then most of them, the majority of them did get exposed to this virus. They have antibodies. And they are the most, I've said this before, but they are the most capable to make their own decisions about their health. And I'm not suggesting that everybody shouldn't have that same freedom. But, you know, if there are healthcare workers who decided to not get this gene therapy, then they did it for a reason, and it wasn't because of a disinformation meme that they found on Facebook. It's just not like that. So now here we are. Then they went to educators, right? And now they're even backing off of educators. Now, you know, educators even have the ability to make a religious exemption. Now they go after the kids. They go after our children. And they're not able to have a religious exemption. So, you know, this is just retaliation, I believe, for the recall. Anyway, I have so much to say on this topic, but I would like to dedicate the bulk of this show to parents to call in. Parents, grandparents, if you guys have something to say on the topic of forced vaccinations, please give us a call at 319-527-6208 and call in and just lend your voice to the conversation. You can make it anonymous if you'd like, or you can say your name if you'd like. And then also push 1. If you want to be part of the conversation, please push 1, and that'll let you into the waiting room. And I think we have our first caller. Hello, hello, who is this?
Hi, it's Joanne.
Oh, hi. I think your name didn't pop up on the caller ID. So hello, Joanne, thank you so much
hello.
For calling.
You know, I always have a lot to say on this topic.
Oh, you're a great first guest then. So why don't I just give you the floor, and I'm going to let you work some Joanne magic because I know you've got some.
Okay. The first thing that we have as parents the opportunity to recognize is that we have simply over a very long period of time slowly but surely and blindly handed our power and authority over. We didn't know we were doing it when we were in the midst of doing it, but once we can become very clear that that is what happened and we can own our part in it, it makes it so much easier to take the legitimate actions to reclaim that authority and reclaim that God-given power as the authority over what is correct in raising our children and providing them safety and security and provision. So that is the first thing. When we stay in victim mindset and continue to point outside of ourselves, we have the opportunity. Nobody has to do anything. I'm not the boss of anybody. And the truth is, when we do point outside of ourselves, we can remember that there's something about what we did to play a role in the dynamic. Rather than attempting to get others to change their ways, we can simply take control of our own thoughts, our own actions, and our own words. Well, it really ought to go our own thoughts, our own words, and our own actions. I am here to encourage parents to step into that God-given authority and stand with their courageous student and simply say no. No is a complete sentence. They don't need to engage in dialogue. We don't need to put our children into situations where they have to be defensive. We can simply teach them that no means no, and it's very effective. And I have tools that can assist parents if they don't fully comprehend the law and how the law, under God's law, is on their side. We don't need to play in the legalism. Legalism is false law. It's very important that folks choose to educate themselves both on natural law, God's law, and comprehend what the other side is doing in playing with legalism and word salad. So folks can certainly text me, and I'd be happy to send them a document that will provide them a little extra assurance. It's not asking for an exemption. I don't like to play in the realm of exemptions. It's simply putting on the record with the public schools that you, the parent, are the authority, and you are claiming back your authority for your child. And when they have that on record, I tell you, it is very effective, and they will back off because they do not want to bark up the wrong tree, because they know that they can be held liable for harassing children once you've put them on notice. The thing is that we have been playing with an evil entity that is really bluffing. They're bluffing all the way to the bank. And our opportunity to call them on their bluff in a very powerful and calm, direct way. And by the way, people don't even need this document that I have. It's just an affidavit. Well, it's not really an affidavit. People can go that route too. But they, it's just a notice. You're putting them on notice. So it's on the record. And what parents can do, it's really simple. You can simply walk into the front office of your school, handwrite a note, because then the true free man, free woman has shown up in body, rather than depending on paper or words, your own handwritten note that says, I am the authority of my child. I want my child to show up with their God-given faith. No one is to harass my child, or the wrath of God will lay on your head. And sign it and date it and put that in your child's file. And I tell you, they will not bother you. Everyone on that campus that is an adult will know to not disturb them. So that's that. And I also want to share that tomorrow there are parents that are going to be standing with students that are ready to go back to school with their God-given faith.
Amazing. Yeah. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what's going on in Poway Unified School District? It's quite a fascinating story.
Yes. Gosh, the interesting way that the events unfolded, it was really all just led by God, because you couldn't have orchestrated it to turn out the way that it was. You couldn't have pre-written it. We all went to the school board meeting on September 9th, and the school board did not want those of us that were unmasked to enter the building. However, they were allowing masked guests that they had pre-selected to enter the building to be part of the public meeting. And that door was open. And so when there's an open door, I make sure to take the opportunity to utilize it. And we all went ahead and entered in a very peaceful way. And the board, the former board, apparently they were triggered and fearful that we would be doing something that would rock the boat. And we did rock the boat, but we were very peaceful when we showed up, and we were very peaceful throughout the entire engagement of waiting patiently for them to take their seats and continue the public meeting. But they used a delay tactic and tried to wait us out. So it was all very interesting, and it occurred to us that because the Zoom meeting was still going, that, in fact, the meeting had not been adjourned and that it was our opportunity to actually fill the vacuum. So they created a vacuum by vacating their seats, and we were able to come together and elect new board members. And there isn't anyone that was elected that night that wants to be in a powerful position. It really is just that they want to take the power away from the entities that are mishandling funds at the district level, that are mishandling, they're abusing their authority and power by promoting child abuse, by masking children, and promoting drug use by stating that children must have these, you know, injections. Nobody really even knows all of what is in these injections.
And you don't have to censor yourself here.
Say that again?
I said you don't have to censor yourself here. So you can say whatever words. You don't have to speak in code, if you know. So I just, yeah. We're not going to get taken off. So this is a different deal.
Well, it's just an example of how when you just follow your heart and do the things that was laid on your heart by God and trust that you're being led correctly, and you know that you're not an ego, that the right people do come together to do the right thing. And it's really been an amazing, gosh, this is now almost 4 weeks that collectively our group has been working together for the next steps of what how the process will unfold in putting the power back into the rightful hands of the parents. Because remember, we the people are the ones that have the power. Unfortunately, we were all blind to others that wanted to usurp that power and misuse those seats for profit. So there's a lot of investigating that is going on behind the scenes. I encourage parents in other districts to begin that process of doing record requests of email communication and financial records over the course of the last, I would go back as far as 2 to even 3 years. And then folks will begin to see where there are misconduct that will be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah. It will. We will definitely see the misconduct being revealed. But I just have to say that for the last, I don't know what it has, what's been going on the last month or so, but I've been almost giddy. Like, I feel so emboldened. I'm seeing so many parents come together and say, no, we will not consent. We will not let you do this. And the fact that so many parents are coming in peace, with peace and love at the center of it for their children, to protect their children. So I just feel so emboldened by all of the connections that I've made, not only in San Diego, but, you know, across the country, because, you know, we know that it's happening here in California, and it's happening in New York, and we know that it's going to start happening in other places. And so really this is, the test lab for how this is going to go everywhere in the country. And if our states stand up and say, no, we will not comply with these blanket edicts that could potentially harm our children. These are not just just the anti-vaxxers. Although the anti-vax movement has, I would say that they've got some "I told you so's" coming. You know, like they've been right about a lot of things. But we're not even just talking about those people. We're also talking about people who are just anti this vaccine, and they actually can see a little bit of logic and reason that, that why are we saying nobody with antibodies? You know, why are we saying, like, people who have antibodies, they have to still get vaccinated? You know, why are we doing this blanket across, why are we doing it to children at all when they're the lowest chance of death? And if you really feel like you're at danger, and you work at a school district, or at a if you're elderly, and you're actually scared of children's hugs, go get the vaccine. Nobody's stopping you from that. You know, I've got a lot of callers. Joanne, if you want to hang out, you're more than welcome. If you want to leave us, that's fine too. But I am so enjoying this conversation. And there's about, you guys push one if you want to be in the waiting room to speak your mind. We can add you to the call. But I have not, we've got a lot of callers. This is great. I'm so happy that parents are actually calling in. And this is by far the most callers I've ever had, Fairly New Show. But go ahead and push one if you want to join the conversation. But Joanne, do you want to hang out for a little bit, or do you have to go?
Yes, I can hang out for a little bit, and then I've got to go do a work meeting that's to continue the work that we've already begun. So I can hang out for a little bit.
Cool, awesome. I'm going to bring in the next caller. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Danielle. It's Connie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Remember, we met at the Reopen San Diego, I want to say in August. We've been friends on Facebook forever, though.
Oh, for sure. I know exactly who you are. You are definitely one of my favorites. And welcome, very welcome here. Thank you for calling. Do you want to add your voice to the conversation about forced vaccines in California?
I'm totally against it, and I was able to get my daughter a religious exemption so that she doesn't have to get it. Now I'm waiting to get a religious exemption for my job so I don't have to get it. But something keeps bothering me about all of this. I'm wondering if people are thinking about how the taxpayer money is being used against us. The powers that be are not listening to us at all, and it's for a reason. And I think that reason is that they are being threatened to have government money withheld from them if they don't reach these vaccination rates. Tucker Carlson did a section that this bill that they're trying to pass for the government right now had a caveat in it that they could charge the employers $700,000 per unvaccinated employee. And that got me to thinking. I know that a lot of federal money was put into the economy for the COVID relief stuff. And I'm wondering if the schools and certain and employers are being threatened to have that money withheld if they're not taking a hard line with this vaccine? And if that's the case, how do we as taxpayers combat that? Have you thought anything
about
that?
That's a really good question. You know, I really try to stay out of the tax realm, to be honest. Like, I know that I pay as little taxes as I possibly can to this system. This is like a render unto Caesar's, what is Caesar's kind of moment for me. But there are still a lot of people that's a huge, huge problem. You're right. Not a lot of people are looking into it. I do know that they're threatening businesses with penalties of up to $700,000. Not even
right.
withholding money, but actually penalizing. So, that's a great question. And I haven't even thought about that.
And then when you factor in that now we know that the virus itself was funded by taxpayer money. The vaccine has been funded by taxpayer money. It's being forced in a lot of ways is being funded by taxpayer money. How do you even stand up against that? I mean,
you withdraw consent from the system. You try to in every possible way to get around paying taxes, and then you try to. And I'm not talking about it illegally. There are ways out there. There's a reason that rich people don't pay taxes. You know what I mean? They know the laws. They hate people that know the laws. You know, I don't hate them for that. I think that we all should withdraw consent to this from this, you know, fraudulent system. Look up modern monetary theory and realize that our tax dollars aren't doing anything but draining us of energy, draining us when they're not necessary at all. So I would encourage everybody who's upset about this and other things to completely withdraw consent from the system in every way you possibly can.
Yeah. And then another thing that I've noticing, normally the unions would be behind the workers, but a lot of the unions are caving. They're caving too. They're not protecting the workers. And I also think that might be funded money that they're getting from the government from some way to why they're not biting the hand that feeds them, you know? And so I'm wondering when do we just, like you said, withdraw consent and just take to the street? I mean, obviously our organizations aren't going to protect us.
Exactly. And when we say take to the streets, what I mean anyway is go out and plant food. You know, we own that land. We own land on the side of the road. If it's city property, we own it. I'm not suggesting you put up a camp there, but what I'm saying is plant food everywhere you can, you know. That's withdrawing consent. In my opinion, that's the first step, is that how are we going to take back, you know, power from this system if we can't even feed ourselves? If we rely on this system for our basic human needs, how are we ever going to have a chance? So that's just one of those things where people who still have, you know, one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world, it's like, what harm are you? Are we going to go to jail for this, for planting food? I don't think so. You know, and that's how we really take back the street. I'm going to bring in another caller if that's okay with you. You're welcome to stay and be a part of the conversation or disconnect. It's up to you. But I've got two more callers here, at least one more caller waiting. And the third caller, 212, if you want to speak on air, if you want to lend your voice to the conversation, just press 1. Okay, hold on. Next caller, let's see. Hi, you're on the air. Who is this? Hello, are you with us? 858 number? No, okay. Well, I'm going to put her up. I'm going to put her on hold and go to the next. Okay. Sorry, new to this, guys. Oh, that call dropped. Okay. So the 858 call dropped. Do we have a 212 number with us?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, who's this? I can hear you.
Hi, my
Thanks
name
for
is
calling.
Virginia. Thank you. My name is Virginia and I live in New York City.
Thank you. I think everybody else has been from California. How are you guys holding up out there?
Oh, it's shitty. I've lost, you know, before the scandemic, I had 8 part-time jobs, and 2 of them came back this year, but I've just been let go from both jobs, one of them being Yankee Stadium. And it's so
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. It's so insidious because I applied for a religious exemption, and they're like, oh, great, we're going to honor it, but we're going to give you an unpaid leave of absence. So they're not trying to pay. They owe me 28 hours of sick days. They owe me for the 10 last games that I missed, and if we go to the playoffs. And when I said, well, what about my bonus? She was like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I have a 15-year-old autistic son that I'm raising on my own with no way to, you know, feed us, clothe us, et cetera. I mean, literally, she made it seem, HR, that is, that I might not even be eligible for unemployment. And honestly, I feel what they're trying to do is crash the economy. And so what that looks like is they're going to make it that you can't get unemployment, you can't get SSI, you can't get welfare, you can't get the – I mean, it's really – and then what do they expect people to do?
That's a great question.
It's just nuts. Go ahead, Joanne.
When folks ask a question, what am I supposed to do? Fabulous question, and that's what a lot of people are asking. Look within. That's the answer. Look within.
That's what
go
I've been doing.
God. Yeah. And unfortunately, we've all had to learn some really tough lessons through this quote-unquote pandemic.
Yeah.
But the silver lining is it is strengthening people's connection to God's source.
Oh, of
whatever
course.
The word is that people want to use as their connection support. And wait with patience and with faith for God to show you the next step. One of the things that the human conditioned mind does is it wants to know the end result. And unfortunately, that's just not the way the game is played. You just have to trust each step as it is revealed to you. Well, you don't have to. Nobody has to do anything. The opportunity is, as you develop your faith, God reveals more and more of those steps to you so that you're really clear on where to go and to fulfill your highest purpose in life.
No, I definitely concur with all of that. I guess I don't want to use the F word.
It's okay. It's all right. We're all friends here.
Yeah, my concern is that I'm hearing a lot about FEMA camps for the unvaxxed. I'm hearing that, you know, literally that they're just waiting. They're waiting.
Okay.
And that as soon they've already started in New York, just so you know, going door to door, knocking. Who's vaxxed? Who's not? They've already started with that.
The opportunity there is, okay, so we know their plan.
Right.
How amazing is it that we actually know their plan? Because then that allows us to step into creating and being open to what God's plan is for us to crush their plan.
Exactly.
And you don't
and
have
I would
to know
like
the
add...
how.
Go ahead, finish up, Joanne. That's fine. Sorry.
Oh, you don't have to know the how for all the steps all the way through to the end. Just knowing, oh, amazing. It's like you got a sneak peek at their poker hand. Okay, great. Well, now I know how to play my hand.
Right.
Little by little as each card is given to us.
Right. I guess, pretty much I'm plotting my escape. I mean, I remember after 9/11, Spirit basically saying you've got to leave New York. And I was like, okay, I will, and this and that. And then, of course, you know, my jobs were here, so there's no reason. But now that I have no jobs physically to go to, obviously I want to leave. You know, I'm blessed to have a wonderful man that is my knight in shining armor who lives in North Carolina who, you know, can, you know, take my son and I in. But it's like, it's just crazy that I actually will more than likely have to leave. I mean, I'm getting intel that, like, you know, soon they're going to make it, you can't get on the plane. You know, you can't travel interstate. Like, it's very diabolical what's going on. And just the fact that organizing about it. Like, you know, it's not enough to have protests here, protests there. Like, we need to be really like, no, we're not doing this. You know, we're not going to do this anymore. And Biden is ruining this country. He's ruining this country.
I agree with all of that. And honestly, like, earlier I said that that New York and California are really the test labs for the rest of it, for the rest of the country. And we're really going, I mean, it's really on us. Like, we're going to have to mama bear up here and say no now. Because even if you leave, there's going to be time to pack up and all of these things. And by that time, who knows? Because, look, honestly, I live in California. I don't want to move here. I am, you know, a weather wimp. I cannot move. Hot or cold. I don't want to live here. I've lived here my whole life. I'm third generation, five generations have lived in California. I don't want to leave. And we're looking at Montana properties because of this. And it's like, the only problem with that is that who's to say that the next time, that when you get to North Carolina, that you're not going to have to deal with this all over again. You know, right now is the time that we stand and we fight and we say no, because it's at a certain point, there's not going to be anywhere to run.
No matter where you go, there you are.
Exactly.
You got it,
right.
Sister.
I've got three calls right now waiting to come in. So I'm going to bring in another one. You guys are all welcome to stay and add your voice to the conversation. Or, or duck out of the studio. Either way, it's up to you. But I'm going to bring in another voice to the conversation here. This might have been our 858 from earlier. Yeah. Maybe you guys didn't push. Hold on. Let's see. Hello, 858. 1915. Is that, are you there? Oh, no. Hold on. Just added some. No, I added a 419 just now, I think. No? Who did I add? Let's see. Is there a new voice here? Let's see. Hold on. Is there a 4119? Oh, that one just dropped. Okay. Let's see. Hold on. 419
hey,
area code. Are you with us?
I'm here,
oh,
Danielle.
Hey.
Charity. Hey. Thanks for inviting me.
Hello. Well, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. If you'd like to add your voice to this very hot topic, the floor is yours.
All I can say is I'm pretty shocked. I mean, I don't know exactly. I didn't see an official policy for the school district, but I am, like, reading the news articles on how they're not going to be eligible for extracurricular and they're not going to be welcome back after Christmas break. Is that what's going on? Are there exemptions for this? Are there exemptions for this at all? Nothing.
No,
so the school board, who has absolutely no background in medical practice, no scientific background, they're just kind of ruling out, like, you know, human rights completely. That's pretty much what I'm reading.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And those quote-unquote crazy anti-vaxxers knew this was coming a long time ago and tried to stop it. They've been the warriors on the front line of this, knowing that one of these days, that even if you are for vaccinations, there's going to be one of these days where we know that this is not really a vaccine. This is, you know, experimental gene therapy. Children don't die from this virtually. You know, I mean, if you're really going to worry about 400 children. You probably should outlaw cars and, you know, all kinds of things. Like, this is, they are being extremists. And you know what? And if everybody go out and thank an anti-vaxxer, because they've been on the front line, we should have been with them the whole time. But now that we're all here, now that they've poked the hive, it's up to us to say no. And you know what? There is a school, I'm in Point Loma, and in Point Loma, there's a school, it just one of the elementary schools. So a parent from that school posts in a Point Loma Connection group that they're reassigning two of our teachers to other schools because of low attendance in that school. Now, Point Loma you know, it's a pretty affluent district. These people didn't just, you know, go to the next school. It's not that old people are moving into these school districts at a higher rate, and so families are getting pushed out. They're not acknowledging the fact that the masks and now the forced vaccines are really hurting their bottom lines. They're hurting, you know, that these school districts are going to run out of money. And that's what we need to do is pull the funding sources. If we can do that, you know, they might play ball. But that's really the chip that we have right now is to stand up, strengthen numbers, and do not comply or pull the kids out. Well, we can help you find something.
Right. I mean, that's always like the last resort, right, is just the homeschool, which is always a good idea, in my opinion, in this case, if you're completely ostracized from any exemptions.
Correct. Yeah, and that's where we are right now. Even the teachers get exemptions, but not the students.
Wow. I'm blown away. In Ohio, we kind of got like a saving grace law passed on Wednesday where all schools, universities, and businesses to abide by the three exemptions. So I'm just completely thankful right now that law got passed. And it's like, I can't believe that people aren't on board with the exemptions. At least it's like, if you want to get the vaccine, that's your business. My kids will never get it. I'm never going to get it. There should always be exemptions in every case and in public policy.
Just remember that we needed about 3% of the population on our side to seriously change things. And it's looking like we have about 30% on our side. If you just take the people who are just not going to do it, who are not going to take this vaccination, according to even, you know, government records, there's 80 million some odd people who are not going to do it. We have enough to just say no. I've got another caller here I'm going to try to bring in. This is 9496. Let's see. Last four numbers, 9496. Are you with us?
Hi, Danielle. It's Annette.
Hi. How are you?
Can you hear me? Good. How are you?
I can hear you. I'm doing great. So glad you called.
Thank you for inviting me. I also just wanted to, like, give a huge thanks to Joanne because the things that she said just really resonated with me. I want to get a copy of that paper that she was talking about and just going into the schools. I've done some things this year where I've emailed the school, like I emailed my son's PE teacher and said, you know, my son better not be running with a mask on. Like if anything happens to him, because you're putting a mask on him and forcing him to do physical activity, I said, I will personally sue you and the school district and everybody involved. Like you don't, you know, and they didn't respond to me, but the school had called me and, you know, basically was encouraging me to pull my son out and well, he should just do virtual learning. And we went back and forth and had that conversation. But So I totally agree with taking our power back and making sure that these schools know that you don't own my children because they think that they do. But I think that we all just have to understand, like I was saying to you the other night, like it's definitely a David and Goliath situation. This is something that has been coming and planned, and it seems very incoherent because everything that's coming out of Biden's mouth and everything that's coming out of Newsom and all these different people's mouths, it's different, confusing, but that's how a tyrant leads, is by confusing the masses, because if they were being reasonable and logical and fair, that wouldn't make them a tyrant. That would make them a normal, you know, human that was just trying to do good things. So they're trying to keep people confused. And I didn't even realize that years ago that they had gotten rid of the religious exemptions for all vaccines in schools. That was done to lead to this moment that we're in right here. And where Joanne was saying, we've all been a part of this. My ignorance made me a part of this because my kids were vaccinated for polio and all of that. I had no idea that wasn't even an option anymore. And if I would have known that and been taken the time to realize that at the time, I would have fought back even though my kids were vaccinated. And so this is very, very well planned on their part. But the one point that I did want to make, go ahead.
Is that is a power move on your part, is to recognize your own part in it. 100% allows you to up level and take your power back. And that's amazing because most people are not there yet. Even the awake people and the truthers and even spiritually ascending people, like most people are not able to even admit the part they played in it.
You have to know, because we live in a society where people want to cast blame and point fingers. And so it's easier to blame your neighbor than it is to look inward and say, what did I do? But absolutely, we've all been a part of this problem or this would have never happened. In regard to them kicking these kids out of school for the vaccine, I think there's one thing, though, that people really need to understand is that the way that the, and I don't want to call it a law because it's not a law, it's a mandate, which is not even legal, but the way that the mandate reads, the way that it reads from my understanding, and like you said, Danielle, actually the teachers, when you guys were talking about the union, the teachers have been exempt from this mandate, actually. He won't mandate it. Like Newsom here in California will not mandate it for prisoners or prison guards. So a child rapist doesn't have to be vaccinated, but a child does. It's insane. You know, a child rapist has more rights than my child. But the thing that my understanding is, my understanding of this is it's only once it's FDA approved. And currently there is not one single vaccine in distribution right now that is FDA approved. Pfizer has been approved for some that are coming, that are going to be distributed at some point, but they're not currently in circulation. So right now, if they try and kick your kid out of school, and luckily my kids right now are under the age of 16, because they're not even FDA approved at all under the age of 16, they can't do it even to a 16, 17-year-old because there's no FDA vaccine in circulation, from my understanding.
Can I make a comment about that? I encourage anybody that's, you know, facing this to ask to see exactly what the name is on the vaccine. The only one that is FDA approved is called Comirnaty, which is really like a sick name for it because in Italian it means to eat newborn, like Nati as in nativity, Comir as in to eat. So it's a really sick, disgusting name, first of all. And then second of all, it's only available in the European market, and they're not bringing it to the U.S. market because of the 1986 National Childhood Vaccination Act, which, releases them of liability. So if they do not have specifically a Comirnaty vaccine, that is the only one that's FDA approved. And I know for a fact they're not bringing it to America because it's not covered by that liability exclusion. So I suggest anybody that wants to cite this specifically ask what's available. If it's not the Comirnaty, then it's not FDA approved. And if it is the Comirnaty, then if your kid gets sick on it, you can sue the hell out of the manufacturer because it's not covered by the 1986 law.
I would like to interject here because as we're all learning more and more in this process, even the verbiage about FDA approval gives our power to some entity that is outside of us and God. So even if something is FDA approved, does not mean that they can make you.
Right.
Correct. But I'm just letting these people know if they want a legal loophole. There's a legal loophole there, so it's the point.
It's a Band-Aid.
I prefer that people don't look for legal loopholes because legalism is actually the whole word salad and the whole, like, attempt to have people surrender their power. When you look at just the law, whether it be natural law, God's law, and our supreme law of the land, the Constitution, that was written by the hand of God, leading our founding fathers, it's very clear that we hold on to our own power and we do not need to even seek loopholes.
Right.
This
I mean, I created my own school. I got licensed to start my own school last year because I didn't want to deal with this at all. So I totally agree with you, but not everybody can start their own school. So
That's true.
I told my youngest.
To me, you're living in sovereignty.
What's that?
I said, it sounds to me that you're living in sovereignty. If you're, you know, if you've chosen, you've set up your life to the point where you can, you know, pull your children out of these indoctrination camps, and, you know, and that's really something, that's one of the main points of this show, is to take back sovereignty, to stop making excuses for our, you know, part in it. It doesn't sound like anybody on this call is, you know, still pointing the finger. But also to, you know, the next step is to live in sovereignty, and if you, you know, and take back your power. And so I applaud you for starting your own school. That's amazing. And that is something that I think we probably all will get to at some point.
Yep. That was the road for me. It started October 2020 when everything was on, you know, maximum shutdown. I opened my first school. So I was also able to overturn the mask mandate at my local hospital, and then I also overturned the mask mandate at two of the universities near me and the local school district.
That's amazing.
That is
so
amazing.
I totally agree that people should take the power into their own hands, but for an immediate, you know, for just the moment, you know, like just to pause things from escalating, you know, I'm just trying to give people some ways out of this until they can collect their thoughts and get their own plans into formation. I'm just trying to help contribute to some things that can be used in the immediate.
And I think
true,
that's so
because
important
honestly, because go ahead.
Like my daughter does extracurricular activities and a lot of them. She's very involved. So if I pull her out of the school, it's going to completely, there will be a mental trauma. She'll be traumatized
right
by that. I would take away everything
right
that is good and healthy for her in her life. She's doing sports and activities and clubs, and she's got straight A's, and she's happy, and she's flourishing. And, you know, so again, it's that mama bear thing where, yes, we're still trying to fight within the system a little bit because we feel like we have to, I think, to keep our kids. And I understand that, you know, it is somewhat going to be a losing battle at some point. We have to take our power back. But my other concern is, do we want to create a segregated society? Because what if back, you know, if black people had just decided, and I'm married to a black man, my children are black. What if back in the day, no black person ever stood up and said, no, we're not going to have a separate drinking fountain. No, we're not going to have separate schools and neighborhoods. And no, we are all going to live together in harmony. And if they hadn't have done that, my family wouldn't even exist today. And so
exactly.
While I want to pull, I did pull my youngest, I put her in a private school. I work, I can't homeschool. I did put her in a private school. Never want to put, once I did that, I was like, oh my God, I never even want to put a kid back in a public school again. But, but at the same time, like, I don't want, we cannot create a society where we're going back to segregation. Jim Crow
right
cannot come back to America.
That's,
you know,
why I brought up the legal loophole, is because there needs
yeah
to be some sort of stability that they have to respect. Right now, they're not really respecting people and their wishes and parents' choices, so there has to be some sort of legal enforcement, for now at least, you know, until the next move can be made, type of thing.
Right.
Before
because
I think.
Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
I do have to get going. My apologies. Before I hop off, I do want to share my number. I trust that everyone that would be tuning into the show would use it appropriately, and you can simply message me to ask for the documents that I can share that will help you with putting the school on notice, et cetera. So I just want to share that real quick. It's 619-339-0517. In your text, if you simply state that you got my number via Danielle's show, that will be helpful so I know who you are and that you're legit, then I'll send you the notice. I also do have a really amazing study guide that was shared with me yesterday about a better comprehension of legalism and the rightful law. So if you want that as well, I think it's important that we arm ourselves with knowledge.
Thank you so much, Joanne. You have no idea how helpful you have been in this. Like, I'm so glad that you, yeah, really. I call in any time. You're amazing. I love you. And let's talk
soon,
okay?
Amazing. You're a badass. Everyone that's on the phone right now, you are badasses, and just keep on doing what you're doing, and everyone around you is going to level up. You may not see it right now, but it will happen.
Absolutely. All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
So, anybody else want to jump on with the thoughts? Okay, let me just put this out there. Sorry, guys. I'm really new to the radio, if you couldn't tell. But I just wanted to put out the call-in number again is 319-527-6208, and then press 1 to jump in the waiting room. So let's go back up to the top with the 0609. I'm sorry, I don't have names associated with these numbers, so I think I know all of you, everybody on this call, but the 0609, if you want to, do you have anything you want to add?
My name is Connie, again, for the new people on the call. I was listening, and people keep talking about homeschooling, and it makes me kind of frustrated, because I'm a single mom, and I have to work, and that was part of the big deal for me, is that, you know, she wasn't going to be able to go to school. Plus, she goes to a really good school. And again, I know that this school gets a lot of federal funding. I think that when people really kind of put that in perspective, it doesn't make it okay, but you have a different angle to fight them on, I think, just in that.
Yes.
In a lot of ways, they're fighting for their survival, too. And I don't think
Connie, the other day, earlier when I mentioned the Silver, I don't want to say the school, but one of the schools in Point Loma that's losing two of its teachers, you know, that kind of stuff right there, it's something that we can point to that's already happened, right? There are things, actions that are already been taken. The pocketbook's already getting hit in these schools because enough people, just simply because they don't want their children in math, are pulling out. I understand your situation. I know we talked about about your situation in person, and honestly, like, it's a really, really tough one because they are in good schools. You can't just quit your job because you've got mouths to feed, and it's just really, really unfortunate that that we can't just take all of, even me, like, I kind of work semi part-time, and I pulled my kids out of just traditional school. We're in charter school, so we're still under this mandate, but but even that is like, they 2 days a week, it's this time, and it's really crazy times. They're only there for like 2 hours at a time, and I got to pick them up, and it's these alternative schools are very hard to put into place when you're working a full-time job. So my heart definitely goes out to you. Like, hopefully we can just keep
right. The other thing that's the anxiety and the stress that this is causing for people. I mean, I don't know if anyone else can feel it, but I can like feel it, the energy in the air. And I've been like completely frazzled for almost 2 years now, just the fear and the anxiety. And even I'm contributing to that because my job is on the line too, you know. And this, I know for myself, I pray every day, and I don't know, maybe we could do an organized prayer or something once a day, just where all of us commit to take a few minutes to, you know, ask God for direction on this. Even if we withdraw consent as far as paying federal taxes, we pay taxes on everything, no matter what we buy, except for food, we pay taxes on everything, you know. It's just, we've emboldened them, and I don't know how do we take that back. We've given them the leverage over us, and I know that just as individuals, I'm really grateful for social media, just in that we get to at least identify each other and identify with each other. So, you know, it's a big deal to me to be able to go on Facebook and see a lot of like-minded people. It gives me a lot of hope. So Otherwise, they're still fighting here. Yeah.
And everybody, you know, and it's true. We understand what Facebook is. We understand that at the end of the day, it's a PSYOP, but you can still use PSYOPs to connect with your people, to connect with
right.
your tribe. And and I really, especially in the last few years, I'm so grateful to, you know, to the like-minded people in my circle because they really are my sanity. They keep me, you know, from believing that everybody around me is a zombie. And so I'm so grateful for the you know, that tool and this tool now, right? Because
yeah.
now we've got a platform where we can, soon it'll be video, but right now we have a platform where we can lend our voices to this conversation without fear that saying the right thing is going to get us taken off the internet, right? So, you know,
right.
Strength
and
in numbers.
Never be,
and
that should never be, you know, that's the whole thing. The government does what the government is going to do, which is overstep its boundaries. That's what they are going to do because that's how they survive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm disappointed in the people that have just went along with this and have taken it almost to the next level. Like, I didn't know how many petty, small, authoritarian people were in my life until this happened. And now I can't even look at some people. It's like, you would rather see me on a train if I'm not willing to go along with your program. It's blown my mind, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I feel good about this. And I think maybe your prayer suggestion is a good idea. You know, I just think that we need to connect with each other more often. And I feel like all of these rallies that I go to, I think I told you when we met in person, I feel like it's church. I feel like the energy around me when like-minded people, especially on this subject of freedom and sovereignty, when they come together, it's very potent. It's something that, you know, it's almost like an aphrodisiac in a way. You know, like I feel like I feel good. I feel like euphoric when I'm around people who believe the same things that I do. So we definitely need to connect more in person too.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is the lady in New York still on the line?
No, she dropped, but you know what? I figured out how to add names to the callers. 419, what is your name?
It's Charity, Danielle.
Charity, okay, that's okay, good. Charity, you guys, is honestly another one of my absolute favorites. And, you know, obviously God is a big part of this, but we have to have, like, allies in science. And you guys, Charity is definitely, you know, our ally there and advocate in so, so many ways. And, you know, she's been a big part of this, you know, even before we were talking about vaccines, we were, you know, these masks, people really have gone off the deep end with these masks. And there are so many people that just can't wear them. There are disabilities listed in, you know, in every single you know, list of you have to wear a mask except for this list. There's exemption lists in every state because it's a CDC thing. And Charity's
right.
been going to bat on mask discrimination, you know, at the heart of the problem in scientific papers. And I commend you so much for everything you're doing for this fight.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
When is your, can you tell us a little bit about your paper, your mass discrimination paper, or is that still under, like, lock and key for now?
Oh, I mean, I think I emailed you the first draft when I was kind of at the 30-page mark. Just, I mean, the whole point was, you know, the whole rhetoric used against people, I mean, it's been planned since day one. They've used specific language against the public to manipulate people's opinions about this. They've used specific signs to manipulate people. You mentioned PSYOP with Facebook. I mean, everything we look at with this agenda has been a PSYOP pretty much to get people's persuasion into the thinking that their neighbors are their enemies. It's been a grand psychological experiment on so many levels. So my research was into you know, what exactly is in the writing? And the writing always has misleading words, vague words, words that the common people do not use on a regular basis or understand. They know most people aren't going to read a 30-page policy, and they're going to put the exemptions always on, like, page 17, paragraph C, where nobody's ever going to find them, you know, except for people like me who are digging for them on purpose. So I brought all those to light, and it's all a matter of finding the right language, educating people about the language, changing the conversation around on them on why they're doing this. And this has been my tactic since day one, and this is how I got them to switch the mask mandates at the hospital and at the universities and at the schools, because they're doing this against the people. And if you're going to sit there and call yourself a public good, a place of public good, and you're not working for the average public person, then you're a hypocrite, and you need to admit that, and you need to admit why you're doing this. You have an agenda. I argued with the ADA compliance officers at one of the local universities where I worked for. I've actually been fired from one of my university jobs over this vaccine mandate, which came into effect in Ohio on September 1st. So I was one of the first people, and I went to bat as hard as I could. I had argued with the ADA compliance officer. I argued with the safety and wellness board at the university. They all agreed with me that I knew what I was talking about, but they fell back on their interpretations, right? It always comes back to this wordplay and this word manipulation to keep people in fear and keep people too afraid to stand up for themselves because they don't have the right vocabulary to argue with them. And they were kind of like loosely interpreting the laws where I was speaking verbatim. To this day, I'm probably most likely going to sue them, but I just don't have the energy. I know I've told you about I had two lawsuits last year, both of which cases, the one got turned into a federal charge, and the other one was settled out of court. It takes a lot of energy to go through that, so I'm not at a good, like, energy place to sue this university, but at some point I will. I know I have a 300-day window to sue them. But the papers I've written have all been about this, just exposing the language, exposing the rhetoric being used. What are the signs really saying? Are you being clear with the public about this? Are you choosing to make the public think bad things about people who don't wear masks? I mean, that's what most of my research has been about, is the psychological damage that they're doing on purpose to people.
That needs to be several studies. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just wondering, Ms. Chair, are you familiar with, again, I keep getting stuck with the funding, the federal funding for schools.
I'm sorry.
I'm getting stuck on the federal funding for colleges and universities. Is that contributing to, you think, how they're wording this, how they're handling this?
Well, with the vaccine mandate, definitely. There's definitely money involved. I mean, it always comes down to money. Like, the thing goes, follow the money, and then you'll figure out what's going on. That's always what it comes down to. As we know, the investors for all these vaccines are all tied together with these policies. These politicians all have investments in this. This is all about making money and coercing people into being part of something they don't realize they're being part of, because they're purposely and intentionally confusing people.
Right.
But yes, it always comes back to the money.
It always comes back to the money. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, you know, we're talking about universities holding. I don't know how OSHA is doing this. Like, it's pretty crazy, especially when it comes to the masks. When we have clear guidance that we're not supposed to wear masks for over, you know, 30 minutes at a time, and you're supposed to have breaks with the masks, you're supposed to have biohazard bins, there's all of these things. You're not supposed to go from one room to another with the same mask on because it's an infection control violation. And then all of a sudden, you know, and remember, I worked in the clinical setting. I think everybody knows that I've worked in a clinical setting for 10 years, and we could have been fined for going from one room to another with the same mask on. And now everybody is supposed to be wearing masks everywhere, and we don't see an infection control problem with this. It really is, you know, alarming to me how quickly these organizations just did a complete 180 on things that were, I don't want to say settled science, but widely accepted. And now all of a sudden that's just like, oh, what? Who's he? We didn't know that. We don't know him with the mask mandate. It's just nuts.
Right.
Hold on. I've got another caller here that, there's a caller listening. If you want to join the conversation, please press 1. So that's where we are in this world. Up is down, left is right. Bad is good. All of these things that we have known for a long time have been practicing, as far as infection control. Now all of a sudden, it's just completely reversed. And like when Fauci at the very beginning of all of this said, no, you don't want to wear a mask right now. You'll touch your face. You're going to make your risk of infection higher, all of these things. And then backtracks and says, oh, I was just saying that so that hospitals could have it. I honestly think that, obviously he lied because those are two contradicting points. But I think he lied the second time because he was quoting established guidelines, science for infection control when he said don't wear a mask, right?
Right.
I mean, does that bother right. anybody?
I feel like he told the truth the first time and lied the second time.
What was that? I'm sorry. You're a little far away from your microphone.
I said I feel like he told the truth the first time and lied the second time because within
Correct.
A month of him saying
Absolutely.
That, they were saying, oh, you could fold up a T-shirt or you could fold up a bandana. I think he told the truth
right.
the first time. But I also think that he knows exactly what this is. And I've been telling people from the beginning, whoever told you that your immune system could not handle this knows exactly what it is and knows exactly how to fix it. And that's why I never got caught up in the hype of this, because I knew from the beginning, if they were telling people before they even knew anything that your immune system couldn't handle this, they knew what they had done. So I never really took
Precisely.
Any, I never
I mean,
really took any stock in what he said, because I always thought he was a liar.
Have you ever once heard Fauci say to anybody or to publicly say you need to take vitamins? You need to
Not
get out in the
ever.
Sunshine?
Nope.
You need to exercise? You need to, things that are known to boost your immune system. There's not been one single effort by any of these people to teach people how to boost their immune system.
Now we're supposed to
believe that you want to give me the shot to make me healthy. Okay.
That's another thing.
Exactly.
I keep telling people, these people lie every chance they get. They lie every single chance they get. They'll kill us all for a nickel. But this time they care. This time they're going to give us this miracle drug for free. How come they're not giving chemo for free or insulin for free? That saves
right.
money, too.
Vitamins.
Exactly.
Why aren't they giving out vitamin D for free? For free. And
right?
why aren't they giving us free vitamins?
You know?
Right. Annette and I were talking the other night about this, actually, that she thought when she first met me, she thought I was crazy, and rightfully so, because for about 2 weeks, of this pandemic, I was absolutely trauma-based. It set in. Like, I was yelling at my husband on the phone, what do you mean you're at work? Get home. Everybody's going to die, And then about two weeks into this thing, my logical brain kicked back in, and I'm like, oh, okay, I was wrong. And I'm, and we all have to admit when we're wrong, right? Like
yeah.
Joanne said earlier, like, this is something that it's us. All of the stuff that's going on right now is something that we did in the past collectively. So, that was just a quick one, right? Usually people hold on to these beliefs for lifetimes and then sometimes make the change. But, but for me, that was just like a 2-week quick thing where I was crazy and I apologize. But but I really was. I totally believed it for about 2 weeks. And then from then on out, I was like a pretty strong voice for I'm not wearing masks. My 10 years of clinical OSHA training kicked in, There really is a lot, all this has a lot to do with trauma-based mind control. And we've all been trauma-based mind control in one way or another throughout our lives.
Right.
Right. So that's why I give a little bit of grace to people on this, because they're scared. I understand what they're going through. But at a certain point, it's like we can't wake up everyone. We can lay seeds. We can help them, you know, in their awakening. If you try to just wake them up, they're not going to do it. They're not going to. That's why it's not the Great Awake, right? It's the Great Awakening, because it's going to take a lot. It's going to take, you know, you can't just shake somebody awake, because they'll get angry and combative, and they won't acknowledge their part in the problem.
It's a lot of ego. It's a lot of ego-based stuff that people have, like, laid on the line.
Exactly right. You don't want to say I was wrong. I was completely dumb and wrong, and I, you know, it's hard. But at the same time, we're a year and a half into this. It's like, if people haven't woken up by now, I don't know that they're going to. It cannot be any clearer. There were things that, like you were saying, Danielle, that we saw early on within the first 2 weeks. And I was cautious at first. At first, I was never – I'm not a hypochondriac. I'm always kind of like – I'm not a big go-to-the-doctor-for-everything type of a person anyway. But I was like, okay, they want to be cautious. That's fine. But 2 weeks into it, when they just were like, basically, we're going to lock down forever, it seemed, you can fairly clearly see what's going on, but there were things that were being predicted back then, like these vaccine mandates that we're seeing today, that we were all called conspiracy theorists and crazy and paranoid and every single, you know, insult in the book for having the foresight to see a little bit in the future. Then it wasn't, there's no prophecy here. It was just, that just made sense that that's where this was all going to go, that that's what was going to happen.
Well, I'm sure there was a prophecy.
Not even a little.
I wanted to ask you, though, Danielle, I'm curious, was there an incident, or was there something that happened that clicked in that logic? Like, was there a particular thing that did that, or just you just kind of one day was like, wait a second?
That's a good question. Research, right? Because at first, we're trained to react, and you know, a reaction is not something that you take time and thought and, you know, and brain logic. You don't sit there, you know, you don't research, right? You just react, right? So I think once the reactionary phase was over, I guess. I sat down and started researching and listening to some of, you know, my favorite non-legacy media personalities. I realized. And then there was also this, okay, so first let's go back to 2019 when I'm sure I had COVID, you know, before all the lockdowns, right? And let's just take a moment to acknowledge that it's not COVID-20, which is when we locked down. It's COVID-19, so it's something that was around, you know, in 2019 and circulating in 2019. And we have people like Ty Theorist, actually the co-host of this show, couldn't be here today, but doing full live streams about Wuhan and about the virus and about the release of the virus that were taken down, of course, for disinformation, right, in 2019. Right. At that time, I couldn't really pay attention to his live streams because I was dying of COVID, not really, but I was really sick. The thick of my COVID symptoms. It was probably about 4 days of me just not being okay. Before that was like just wanting to nap a lot, right? And then about 4 days of very extreme COVID symptoms when I went into the hospital and they had my kidneys were shutting down at that point. They had to have kidneys. Mm-hmm. They had to do kidney surgery on me. And them saying, we have no idea why kidney stones, you know, your kidney stones got infected. We've never heard of infected kidney stones before, you know, all of these things that I was too sick to pay attention to. I noticed a lot of people around me were also experiencing similar symptoms. You know, online, even like people that I follow online, where, oh, I'm in the hospital for kidney stuff or lung things. A lot of people in late 2019 were in the hospital for this. But so when the information was presented to me, I was too sick to really pay attention to it. I recovered. I focused on, you know, on me, my body, my mental health, my physical health. Then the pandemic hit, right? And in that 2 weeks where basically everybody was home, I researched. I even went back and watched Ty's live streams. And, it made sense to me that, oh, I just fell for something, you know? And that, you can go to one of two ways of at that point. You can either say I was wrong and I'm going to retract and correct my statements, or you can double down. And I think a lot of people tend to double down on the nonsense. I guess I'm happy that I didn't, but there wasn't really a wake up, but it was just, I was home and researching enough to realize that I was wrong, I think, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank God. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
I think that happened in January of 2020. My whole office
I
work in an office with 10 women. And seven of us got sick. And three of them got, like, serious infection, like upper respiratory infection. One had a light case of pneumonia. And one had, like, a really persistent cough for a long time. But I think we all had it already. And that adds to the lunacy to me for having to be. They want me to sit at this desk with a mask on my face all day long. And I just can't think of anything more dystopian. I never do it. I mean, the mask is on my face, but it's on my chin the whole time. It's a whole thing. And I haven't felt like this was about public health from the beginning of this. I've always felt like this was about control and trying to see. Personally, I think they want to see how far they can push us. And I'm blown away at how far some people are willing to be pushed, you know?
Absolutely.
But I think I had it. I was sicker than I've ever been. I had fever, chills. I was hallucinating. I was down through the count, and I stayed sick for like 3 or 4 days, and then I had to cough for like an extra week, and then I drank some agua chile, is like a ceviche with jalapeno peppers, like hot with this, man. I had some of that, and it just cleared up everything. I haven't been sick since. So I think we've all been through it, and so it feels like this is more about control than it ever was about public health. And then you have to factor in, too, that we have them on record saying they were counting things as COVID that were clearly not COVID. And they have the PCR thing, which you know that they're using to stoke the numbers and to stoke the fear. I really can't see how people are still acting like we're in the middle of a pandemic when we know all of the manipulation that's being put into play.
They're not trusting their instincts. I think that's what's wrong with a certain part of the population. I think the people that have woken up trust their instincts, that their gut intuition is telling them something's wrong, and they're going with that gut instinct, at least to, like Danielle said, at least to pursue some research or question things.
Right.
And other people don't. And other people have completely turned off that natural mechanism for self-preservation and just trust other people to do it for them. I think that's what it comes down to.
I blame fluoride.
There's a reason
that too.
There's a reason why there's a
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was wondering how much of that is connected to people that still trust the government. I haven't trusted the government in a very long time. So anything they say to me, if they tell me it's black, I'm going to assume it's white until I look and see it for myself, you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, what's interesting, though, is they don't trust the government. They're saying our government is evil because our government is evil. They've got, look at slavery, look at all the wars, everything our government has done. So they acknowledge the past. Many of these people will acknowledge the past atrocities that the U.S. government or the world government, whatever, have done. But now they think it's an arrogance about them of, well, now we are the supreme time in history where now they're using their powers for good rather than evil. If you look back in history, have they ever
use their powers for good
nope.
and not evil. So
nope.
why would they do that now? And I think
right.
that I think there's a reason. Well, there is a reason for the saying ignorance is bliss. Like, sometimes I don't want to be this awake because it's frightening, it's terrifying, it's infuriating. It's when you actually can see the unmasked world and the people and who they are and what they're doing. I mean, your whole world is disrupted. And
right.
people just want to go to work and they just want to raise their kids and they want to have this imaginary lifestyle they created inside their head that just isn't, it can't exist. It doesn't exist. And you don't
right.
want to acknowledge that because you don't want, you can't let go of it. You just can't, you know, and we've been taught from a very young age not to question authority also. You know, we were always,
right.
you know, and I personally as a child was never like that. And I actually think I put something on Facebook the other day. I'm like, liberals, what happened to you? I thought you were fighting the system. Now you are the system. When you had,
you
know, Pink Floyd, leave my kids alone, all this, you know, that I remember this, how we were in the 80s and the 90s. And it's like, what happened to you people? Where did you go? You know?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's before fluoride.
Yep.
I don't know. I've never been.
Okay, I'm
grew up very authoritarian, like in a very authoritarian household. So as soon as I could, I like shunned all of that.
That's
as
amazing.
Soon as I could,
that's
I
amazing.
All of that.
I'm going, okay, guys, we're going to take just a short break where I'm going to play a clip from Ron Paul. Just from this week, talking about antibodies and how grilling, basically, an HHS secretary. So this is about a six-minute clip. You guys, please stay with me if you want. If you need to go, no problem. But I'm going to play this short clip, and we'll be back right after.
Are you familiar with an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually seven times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally?
I'm sorry.
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. In a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I've worked over 30 years on health
so
policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions, a lawyer with no scientific background, no medical degree. This is an arrogance coupled with an authoritarianism that is unseemly and un-American. You, sir, are the one ignoring the science. The vast preponderance of scientific studies, dozens and dozens, show robust, long-lasting immunity after COVID infection. Even the CDC does not recommend measles vaccine if you have measles immunity. The same was true for smallpox. But you ignore history and science to shame the flat earthers, as you call them. You should be ashamed of yourself and apologize to the American people for being dishonest about naturally acquired immunity. You want more people to choose vaccination? So do I. You want to lessen vaccine hesitancy? So do I. You want to have that happen? Quit lying to people about naturally acquired immunity. Quit lording it over people, acting as if these people are deplorable and unwashed. Try persuasion instead of government cudgels. Try humility instead of arrogance. Try freedom instead of coercion. But most of all, try understanding that there's no more basic medical rights in deciding what we inject into our bodies. today after hearing that millions of people in a study show without a doubt that there's a great deal of immunity from getting it naturally? Do you want to apologize to the 100 million Americans who suffered through COVID, survived, have immunity, and yet you want to hold them down and vaccinate them? Do you want to apologize for calling those people flat earthers?
Senator, I appreciate your question and appreciate that everyone has their opinion. We follow the facts and the science at HHS. We use the expertise of the medical professionals, the scientists at HHS to make decisions. It's a team effort, and we rely on what is on the ground showing us results.
Except for the dozens and dozens of studies. In fact, most, if not all, of the studies show robust immunity from getting the disease naturally. The CDC says if you've had measles and have immunity, you don't have to be vaccinated. The same was true of smallpox. You're selectively doing this because you want us to submit to your will. You have no scientific background, no scientific degrees, and yet you aren't really concerned about 100 million Americans who had the disease. You just want to tell us, do as you're told. That's what you're telling us. You want to mandate this on all of us. You're going to tell us if I have 100 employees, you're going to put me out of business with a $700,000 fine if I don't obey what you think is a science. Don't you understand that it's presumptuous for you to be in charge of all the science? Have you ever heard of a second opinion? I can't go to my doctor and ask my doctor's opinion. I mean, this is incredibly arrogant combined with this authoritarian nature that you think, well, we'll just tell all of America to do what I say and they better, or we'll fine them or put them in jail or not let them go to school or not let them travel. The science is against you on this. The science is clear. Naturally acquired immunity is as good as a vaccine. The Israel study actually showing it better. This isn't an argument against the vaccine, but it's an argument for letting people make a decision who already have immunity. You're not willing to consider natural immunity?
Senator, our team has reviewed every study that's out there on COVID, whether it's from Israel, from the U.S., or wherever else. They have used the facts that have been provided through the rigorous research that's been done to reach a conclusion. 660,000 Americans and more have died because of COVID. We're trying to do everything we can to save as many as possible. We're using the facts, we're following the science, and following the law.
Nobody's arguing the severity of this, but you are completely ignoring the science on natural immunity. So's Fauci, so's the whole group. You're just ignoring it because you want submission. You want everybody just to submit to your will, do as you're told, despite the evidence, the large body of scientific evidence that says naturally acquired immunity does work, is an important part of how we're all going to recover from this. So is the vaccine. But when you add them together, we're at a much different place than if you ignore them. 100 million Americans, by conservative CDC estimates, have had the disease. 200 million or more now have been vaccinated. It's a good thing. Combined together, it's how the disease is. Nobody wants to get the disease. We're not advising anybody to get the disease. But if you're unlucky enough to get it, think of the nurses and doctors and orderlies who all bravely took care of COVID patients. There was no vaccine for a year and a half. They took care of people, risked their lives. They got it, survived, and now people like you are arrogant enough to say, you can no longer work in the hospital because you've already had the disease. We're going to force you to take a vaccine that the science does not prove is better than naturally acquired. That's an arrogance that should be chastened.
Amazing. Amazing. We do have one other caller. I was just going to say,
Danielle, that it's like, if that's how they, if this is how, if you, all of these people now that are trying to kick healthcare workers out of their job are on film multiple times talking about that these are the heroes, all of them. So if this is how they treat their heroes, how are they going to treat the rest of us that are not heroes? If this is how our country treats our heroes,
right there.
How are they going to treat us peons? You know?
Exactly. Let's have another caller here. If you want to press 1 to join the conversation, and then Connie, go ahead. Sorry.
All you have to do is look at how they treat veterans to know how they treat their heroes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they hold people up, but they don't really mean it. It's all for optics and propaganda. But when the rubber hits the road, they don't take care of them. And that's a big problem for me, is that you make these mandates that people have to do this. But then if they're injured, I've been noticing they do a lot of these, they died unvaccinated, but there's a few things you should know about that. They'll call you unvaccinated. You could have the two shots, but they'll call you unvaccinated if the 14 days haven't went by. So a lot of the, I think, a lot of the Delta variant stuff is actually vaccine injuries, and no one is ever going to tell you that. But they'll tell you that these people aren't vaccinated because they may not have gotten the second shot. The first shot might have took them down, or they may have gotten the second shot and the 14 days hasn't went by. Or they were unvaccinated. They went to the hospital. They got remdesivir and shut their organs down and put them on a ventilator, and they got killed that way. There's so many things wrong with the way that this is being handled. It's like I don't understand how anyone can trust, you know, what these people are saying. And my only thing with Senator Paul and what he was talking about, personally, I think this whole vaccine thing just is a bunch of hooey to even lead it, to even give it any, you know, any credence is like buying into the lie, you know. This isn't a vaccine, and people need to be honest. And I see that he's honest up to a point. And, you know, that kind of, while I'm glad that he is speaking out about it, I see that the honesty has limitations.
I totally agree. I'm going to try to bring in this caller. Hold on. Hello, 8787. Looks like you're on with us. Hello. Are you there? Hello? Maybe not. Hello? No. Okay. Hello? Can you hear me?
Danielle, to your...
Can I what?
I was just going to ask, to your knowledge, if you know that there's anywhere to find the data of the partially, like, because, like, I think as Connie was saying, They won't give us the full picture. They'll only tell us vaccinated and unvaccinated when it comes to COVID death. They don't have another category of partially vaccinated, which is a true category. They just call them unvaxxed. So do you know if that data is available anywhere right now of the partially vaccinated that are dying?
I would check the VAERS, V-A-E-R-S system. That's the best place to go because honestly, like when you die after your first shot, you know, it's hard to get healthcare providers to actually enter the data into the VAERS system. They just won't. So it's hard. We're getting partial data. The reason that all of our agencies are using overseas data is because our data is just bunk.
And that's by design.
Oh, it is, yes.
I think that's, again, connected to the money.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. I'm sorry, one second. I'm trying to bring in this caller. So I've got Connie and Annette. Is there another caller on the line? No. Okay. Not sure what's going on with that. Anyway, but yes, that's what's going on. You have to follow the money. That's the only way we're going to get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wanted to mention one other thing. I don't know if this is off topic, but because we were talking about the schools and just being able to see what's coming. I think that's been maybe part of a mistake or – we've all seen what's coming. Like I've seen what's coming, but I don't know if I've really done enough or anything to stop it, I guess. I knew this was coming, but was there any preemptive strike that I took is what I have to now go back and question myself on that. But the next thing that's coming, and I believe they already did this in France, is where people are saying just pull your kid out and homeschool. They're already trying to make that illegal. They are already trying to make it so you cannot homeschool your children, and isn't it France that they outlawed it actually recently?
I'm not sure. Let me try this caller one more time. Is there a caller 8787 on the line?
I am. Thank you. Sorry, I was wrestling with my Bluetooth earlier.
Oh, no problem.
and it won. But I'm able to speak. And hey, you know, I haven't listened to this whole show, but while I was on hold, I can tell there's a lot of people out there that are thinking like me. And I don't know, I don't mean to be repetitive, but one of the things that I wanted to add to the conversation is just, you know, the rate at which change is happening. So I'm about 45 years old, I think exactly 45. I don't recall a time in my life, and I think my parents would agree in their lives. And I think that America, other than when, you know, war breaks out or something and factories turned into, you know, different functions to support the war, there had to have been a lot of changes. Then the Great Depression obviously changed things rapidly. But barring these extremely, you know, prolific examples of rapid change, there simply has not been at this rate of change in our country. And what's even weirder to me is, and what I'm trying to understand, you know, a little better is what's going on around the world. So many countries, it's almost like the countries that are allies, such as us, the UK, Australia, are all handling it very similarly. And getting similar results. You know, we're vaccinating the heck out of people, but people are still getting sick. Our higher-ups are lying to us. Our news is provably, you know, it's provable that news outlets lie all the time. CNN gets caught twice a week lying about horse ivermectin and, you know, so on and so forth. Coupled with all the rapid change, I mean, the way my kids go to school has changed. The, you know, the garb that I have to wear outside my house has changed. I'm required to do things based on a disease that has a 99.9% survival rate. And also, I would say that the CDC says that, you know, there's only a 60% or there's a 60% chance that you'll have anything other than no or mild symptoms. So it's almost a coin flip. It's almost 50-50 as to, and this is CDC saying it, whether or not, you know, I would even know if I have the disease, right? Mm. So there's only a 60% chance I'm going to know I have it, and then a 99.9% chance of survival, you know. And the vaccinated people vastly that I talk to say, I don't care if you're vaccinated or not, if I am, you know. So I think all the hype, I think all of the scare tactics are coming from the news and the typical players. But you know, it's almost like Biden is fumbling. You know, only 12 months ago, Biden said we can't make people take shots, and we've never, you know, well, we, you know, they were saying they can't make people take shots, and then a year later or less, he's on the air, you know, in his speech saying they have to. So, you know, I am extremely uncomfortable with this rate of change. And then when our own country and our own CIA and those guys play us out, and when they screw us over, you know, I'm kind of used to that. But what I find myself really worried about and really thinking about a lot is the fact many parts of the whole world are still, you know, acting irrationally. And so it's just real troublesome to kind of put all that together. And I really, I mean, like everybody on this show, I know that they're trying to take us down the path to totalitarianism and et cetera, et cetera. So not really calling it a show to get comfort to hear that they're not doing that, you know, because I think we know they are, but you know, I'm just going in to especially talk about the rate of change at which things are happening.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
is that scaring
you know,
anybody else? I mean, how
terrifying. It's terrifying.
It's never been like this.
And that's why you've got people. Well, right, exactly. And that's why you have people.
You know, pregnant women are getting
a radio
shot.
Show.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I didn't hear exactly what you said. You said something about a radio show or the radio show.
Well, no, no, I said that's why we have this show, right? Is because that's why we even have an audience at all, is because people who never thought that this day would come are really starting to see that it is here. And you know, we have this opportunity, especially for parents, right, that now all of the internal mama bears are going to start coming out, and papa bears, you know, because now our children really are, you know, on the radar for risk. And so that's why a lot of people are terrified, but I feel like our time has come, and I feel like, you know, this is just the beginning, you know, the beginning is near, not the end.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
You had mentioned pregnant women. I believe it's 80% miscarriage when they get the vax when they're under 20 weeks.
Is, wow.
The rate of miscarriage with the vaccination.
Oh,
gosh. Statistic I read. It's atrocious that they are giving this to pregnant women. It's terrible. Because that's really, they're after our kids. That's what they're, that's why the school they want. But it's really, when you really look at it, I mean, there's a depopulation agenda, right? There has to be. There has to be a depopulation agenda, or we wouldn't be in this place. So it's when you look at pregnant women that are taking this, it's just terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, I talked to a friend today who, you know, he would get the vaccination without being sort of forced to, and what forced him into it was that he can't go into the delivery room to see the baby being born unless he gets this vaccination that doesn't even really work. You know, and I mean, that really, you know, I know him personally. I know him really well. And he and I, you know, also we're just freaking jerks. I mean, I work, you know, almost every day. So, I'm not an individual who, you know, has always paid such close attention or, you know, like one of those patriots, you know, shows up for everything and like you guys kind of are, you know, a talk show host and stuff like that. I'm not like that. I'm just like a normal guy who goes to work, but, or not that guys that you don't work at the radio, but you know, like I don't usually pay as much attention to stuff, but it's completely overtaken everybody's lives. And this guy was, I mean, he's devastated and his neck hurt him after he got it and all these other things. And, you know, I just heard the other day that studies that show the UK and the US have been doing the vaccination wrongly. So what they've been doing is inserting the needle. This is what a study found, and I can't maybe I'll call in next week after I look it up a little better, and I can't actually cite it. But anyway, I swear I my eyes on the paper that the doctors are inserting the needle, which is supposed to be intramuscular, so it's obviously supposed to go into the muscle. Well, when you do that as an administrator of a drug like that, you are supposed to draw back on the needle to make sure no blood is coming out, because I guess it wouldn't come out of a muscle, but it would come out of a blood vessel. And so the study showed that the chance of heart issues happening after the vaccine skyrocket as a result of inserting the vaccine into a blood vessel. And so they began to show that it must be being administered wrongly and that kind of thing. And I mean, it's just incredible, the incompetence, starting with Fauci, all the way down to people who are getting the drug. I'm definitely not blaming doctors or nurses, whoever is administrating it, but I know that they're fighting for their job. They're, you know, to feed their kids well right now, you know, so I don't blame them. But it's just when you rush things and everything has to happen now and all that, you miss important aspects, I think, of this kind of stuff. And it's proving to be true. And there's mm-hmm. probably a ton of unnecessary, you know, injuries out there that occur. And nobody's be responsible. You know, does anybody ever think about the end of the road here and what it's all going to come to and look like? I mean, I just can't even imagine at the end of all this COVID stuff, there's probably not going to be an end to it. It's endemic. But anyways, you know, what does the road look like? I mean, 100% vaccinated and, you know, or people hungry, you know, choosing food or choosing to be able to work or having mm-hmm. it vaccinated. Danielle, I think you have, you know, you're right on track, I think, you know, about taking back your food and stuff like that. I heard a blurb mm-hmm. about that from you a moment ago, and it's like one of the only things we can do. So sorry to talk so much, but I have other thoughts that I want to get out. And I appreciate the show that you're doing, and I'm going to continue to listen when I am.
Thank you.
No problem at all. You know, I'm going to bring – there's another – looks like there's another person, another caller. Let me try to bring him in.
And I've got Ron. Thanks so much for everything you guys are doing.
Bye. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Do we have a 4497 on the line?
That's me. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Dead, but I'm alive.
Do you want to identify yourself or keep it anonymous?
Hello, everyone. It is Furious George, or Furious George, if you like.
Oh, my God. I didn't even – okay, all right. I'm on my computer this time. It didn't bring up your – all right, there it is. Okay. Hi.
Late as usual.
Thank you so much for... have you been listening at all?
This weekend, accolades and crazy nonsense. I'm doing good. It's just I became a cover boy. I signed a model contract. I became a resident at a burlesque thing all in 3 days. So I'm exhausted. Well, I'm fucking exhausted right now. I can't tell you.
That's a busy weekend.
I did listen.
Everyone,
I did listen into
like
a little
Ty.
Bit. Hi. I'm here. I'm going to do like a last hour thing with you guys today. I mean, it's just, wow. I didn't think, you know, you don't plan for your life to just kind of pick up like that, but it does. So the downside
it
of working
sure
here.
It sure does. That's amazing.
Yeah. I guess that's the
that's
only reason
amazing.
Why I'm like completely kerfluffled today. Yeah. That happened in 3 days. So we've literally been sleeping all day. We actually had to stop camming today because we're like, we're off. We can't do it. We can't do it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, there's so many things to talk about, right? I would love
yeah.
for you to jump right in about these vaccine mandates. We haven't heard from you yet, so.
It's – I'm trying to make people stay stoic and reserved and calm. That's the number one goal. The goal is that they're trying to make us reactionary. So, and they can force us if we get reactionary. That is the number one plan. That's what they do to the right wing. That's what they do to the left wing about any subject. They make them reactionary, and then the populace turns on them. They won't take you seriously if we become reactionary about it. We have to remain as calm and peaceful and nice and stoic as possible, because then they're just attacking nice people. You know what I mean? If they're attacking mean people, they don't
yeah.
care. So, but if we're nice and just polite and nice, it's just like, oh, well, here's the thing. We don't want to do that, but la, 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 la. We just have to remain in that positive, high vibrational mode. And then you can sort of get people on your side that way. You know what I mean? Like, people can see that you're not like a crazy, you know, anti anything. That's what they use, the anti. They like to use the anti. Because then it makes you seem like you're fighting it. I'm like, we're not really fighting it. We just don't want to be involved in it. We're not involved in that. I liked the last caller. He was like, yeah, we're not blaming doctors and nurses, but at the same time, I have that problem too because I work in show business. I'm like, well, we're not all pedophiles, but is our industry still responsible for that? Yes. So you need to call it out. Like, as me who works in show business, I'm responsible for calling out pedophiles because it's in my industry. So the doctors and nurses are not immune from that. Oh, it's not us. No, 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 that's not an excuse. You have a very dangerous practice, very, very dangerous, and it's killed millions of people. Malpractice doesn't go away because people ignore it. It's still there anyway. So they need to pay attention to it. They need to acknowledge what's going on in their own industry. They have no choice but to do that. So they have to see the forest through the trees here. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And mandates are not law. Mandates are not law, so they need to understand that. People need to do that.
And it is a mandate right now. And that's something we all need to, you know, to be focused on as as parents right now, is that these are not laws. They can't force us to do these things. So,
yes.
You know,
corporations have no jurisdiction over living sovereign people. They don't. They cannot, or they cannot do this. And it's important for people to understand that. It's very, very important.
So,
it's hard to separate that when they're threatening your livelihood, though. It's hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very
when
true.
That's why.
And so inform them, and that's what I tell people, even if they force you to, then it is forced. So let them inform them that it is forced. They can say it's not. It is. It is not consent.
Right.
It is not consent, period. It just isn't.
Yeah.
So they can do duress. They can do, if it's duress or coercion, not consent. So they can pretend that it's not forced. But at the end of the day, legally it is. It is forced. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Connie, are you friends with Ty on Facebook?
Oh yeah, I think I've got all of. I think I'm on all of his
all
accounts.
All the gang's all here. Yes. This is Constance. I think we know her as Constance on Facebook.
Uh-huh. Ah, there we go.
Yeah, that's me. Hi.
Hello.
And Constance is in kind of a predicament because she's got her job is definitely going to be compromised due to these mandates.
Yeah.
Mhm. A lot of people's are. A lot of people's. What me and Lily have been telling people to do is to let them fire you. Document it, and then later you can file against them. That's usually the only recourse you have at that point. You know what I mean? But if you let them do it, and then you don't take any action, just like kind of like follow the litigation wise, you can't get them. You know what I mean, there's a way to do that. You can put a lien on their personal assets, and then they'll have to backtrack. So,
well, it's going to take some time, and in the meantime, they're telling people that if they do get fired, they won't get unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going on right now that
people won't check either. So,
sorry, what'd you say?
They're hoping people won't check either. They're hoping they won't.
Yeah.
They won't follow up on it. Yeah. So.
Absolutely, and it's so weird that like everybody got unemployment. Everybody got unemployment because of COVID, except for now frontline workers and other key positions are. Are basically, oh, no, you're not going to get unemployment and you get fired. And what are we supposed to do? These are the first people in the entire pandemic who don't get unemployment. Is that
right.
Not real? Is that a real thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's insane.
They're saying that you abandoned your job if they fire you for not getting the vaccine mandate.
And they don't care, they really don't care. That's people think that these people care about it. They don't. They don't care about you at all. And you can tell because when the pandemic hit, what did they do for entertainers? All right, nothing. Nothing at all. They just destroyed our industry. And we're like, good luck on your journey. Bye.
You know
that multi-trillion-dollar industry you're all involved in that was your careers forever, you did every day, that you relied on social connections for? Oh, sorry about that. Good luck on it. Like, what? So it's obvious they don't give a fuck. So it's, I don't know why people are pretending these people are going to protect them from something. Is this the same?
Right.
Is this the same? The same group and elite and all these high ups that wait. I thought there was oppression. I thought there was racism and patriarchy. But now that's gone because my virus is here. Wait. How does that work? How does that operate? Now people aren't even following their own ideological basis. They're not even following that anymore because now CNN scared me one day. So now.
Right.
Well, my body
going
my
on.
Sure went
What's
out the
happening?
Goddamn window.
Oh, it
you,
sure did. No,
yeah.
People still hold that. They hold a double standard. No, I've had women specifically tell me, liberal women on the left, oh, you can't tell me what to do with my body, now go get the vaccine for me. Oh, really?
Right.
Is that how it's going to work? How about I dropkick you right to the floor? I don't think so. I don't fucking think so.
Metaphorically
not acceptable.
Because it's on Facebook.
Well, yeah, it would be a verbal. It would be a verbal way. Well, I mean,
no,
I won't associate you. And also retract yourself from people like that, because those are people that are obviously not. You know, what I mean, they're there for themselves. Most of this do this for me thing is a selfish, neurotic thing. It has nothing to do with safety or health or anything. It's just people's neuroticism coming out full force. So,
right.
So
Well, don't you think that eventually they're going to get buried in wrongful termination lawsuits? Because that's what people need to do.
Yes, they will.
They need to get fired, and then they need to start killing them with litigation and lawyer fees. And, and in the end, they're actually going to win. It will take time, but what they're doing is completely illegal. Like, at the beginning of the pandemic, my brother had gotten arrested for, he did a beach protest where he just walked, they wouldn't allow him on the sand. He said, I'm going to walk on the sand. And so, you know, they arrested him. And, you know, of course, were threatening all of these things at the time. Well, it turned out they had to drop everything because it was an illegal arrest. They had absolutely no right to arrest him and charge him with a crime like they wanted to do. Now, it took him a year, and he luckily found a lawyer to represent him pro bono during it. But, I mean, that's the thing, is it did take time, but in the end, the law still ended up prevailing, you know? The real law.
And it does. It does if you have patience. That's the whole point of litigation, is that it takes time. It's supposed to take time. It's also why we have three branches of government. That way they don't rush through, you know, illegal and unconstitutional laws like this. It's supposed to take time to mitigate that back and forth. And remember, just because something is legal does not make it lawful. Legal and lawful are not the same word. They mean different things. So,
Absolutely.
Most of the laws that have been passed by this corporation, the U.S. corporation, most of these laws in the past 100 years are all wrong. It's just, we just haven't prosecuted them yet. But we can. There's a way to do that. Class action lawsuits and all that will occur. Constitutionality lawsuits will occur. But we can't do that until we challenge the idea that this is an emergency first in law. And then once we prove that it is not an emergency, then we can go for the constitutionality. It's all about how you file and why. We can file incorrectly, too, and they'll get us on the filing. They'll get us on the documentation. That's also how we got Joe Biden. That's why Joe Biden is not president, because he filed wrong. So.
Okay, we have another caller I'm going to try to bring on. Do we have a 3747 last four digits on with us?
Somebody.
Hello, we have somebody last four digits 3747. Are you on? Hello? No?
I'll be in now.
Okay.
Just kidding. I don't know.
Hello. Area code 904, are you with us? Okay. Nada. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Who was next? Hold on. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to try to.
Yeah, so. Yeah, this is going to be as you guys see, this is going to be a hard process to fight them on, because they really want us to give up. They're trying to get us to give up morale. That's really what it is. So, like, the longer we hold out, the easier it's going to be, because we have to hold out, but we can't get reactionary. We cannot. The moment we start getting reactionary and crazy, we'll be dismissed. So that's why they call all the people that fought this originally, like us, you know, the people that wanted to open the economy, they call us all alt-right. They had to come up with some new term, new dismissal term, because we wanted to save our generational businesses from closure and shit. So it's just, we have to be used to that. We have to be used to the attacks, because they're going to keep going until we conform. That's just really what it is. So
they're just wearing us down. They're trying to.
Yep, they're trying to. So those of us who remain positive and happy no matter what happens, no matter what is thrown at us, we will survive. We really will. We'll be at the top of it. But if we get crazy and start getting we'll invalidate ourselves. We really will. We will invalidate ourselves.
Yeah,
so.
It's hard to remain calm, though. I'm not going to lie. I think we need to acknowledge that. It's hard to remain calm. You know.
And that's what it is. Like, unless you have, like, wit or humor with it, if you don't involve humor with it, it's gallows humor, darling, gallows humor. It's like your head is in the thing, they're about to chop it down. Like, you know, you misspelled my name. Like, you have to kind of, like, keep being that person. Like, that's the person. What is Salem Witch Trials? The man that was pressed to death, because he wouldn't admit he was a witch, and then it just kept going, add more stone. Like, be that person.
Right.
So the very, very end. And he was right at the end of it. They actually ended up, like, years later being like, oh, yeah, well, and then I paid his family. Like, eventually, you know, like, you eventually will win. You eventually will if you just hold out. So, because it's really about principle now. Now it's about principle. It's just sheer principle of it. So.
And it's hard to stay calm. Like, I get
the mama bear thing going on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you should. I mean, it's your children, so, like, fuck that. They don't get to just tell you what you're doing with your children. Like, that's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
But, I mean, I think, Ty, you hit on something. I think they're intentionally trying to enrage us so that we will villainify ourselves and we will look like we're crazy, and because we're angry. We're not crazy, but we're pissed off. And so it's like when Joe Biden stood up there and said, made this, a legal mandate of everybody has to get vaccinated and we've been patient and all of this. Like, if he really thought that anybody that was on the fence about vaccination or anti-vaccination, that was going to change their mind, and they are not stupid. And that's the other thing, is stop giving these people they're not dumb. They're evil. They might play stupid. And they're trying to intentionally come off as stupid and confused. Because it's easier to confuse you that way, and it doesn't make them as scary. It doesn't show their real soul.
Exactly. And I don't understand. I don't understand people fall for that. We've been telling them that since, I don't know, the very beginning of live casting. We're like, there's two options. Either they're incompetent or they're wicked. So which one is it? Oh, what people will forgive? They'll forgive incompetence. They won't forgive wickedness. So they pretend to be stupid. They're not stupid at all. They wouldn't be in charge if they were stupid.
Right.
Otherwise, you would all be in charge. That's the whole issue. So, like, people trust fraud. They trust them because they're charismatic and charming and fun and cute. Now, those are the most dangerous people, those people. Not right-wing people that are armed in their trailer in Kentucky. They don't have any power. You need to be concerned about charismatic people like Oprah, people like all these people. These are the people. Those are the people.
Right.
So.
Right.
Those people are always pleasant and fun and charming. But if we're not like that, then people won't think we're crazy. They just won't. They won't listen to us at all. They just won't. So.
Biden, they were able to put up there because he looked dementia ridden. He's just an old grandpa. He can't cause any harm. I mean, he has caused more harm to this country in the last 8 months. It's incredible what he's done, and he is not soft and neutral, and which everyone believes that he was. Oh, he's Joe Biden. He's not going to do anything because he's not charismatic. He stands up there and he's a bumbling idiot, frankly. But they know that because that's not intimidating. He's also not intimidating. But the truth is this man is actually extremely wicked, and he has a lot of power, and it's not a good thing. You got to see behind these. It's all acting,
Yeah, and he's also a relic of when liberals felt secure with their I'm not going to say the word, but say it with Obama. That's what it is. Like they remember Obama, so they're like, oh, that's what we love. So therefore, he's like him, and he's a relic, and la 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 la.
Yes,
it's just one of those. They're playing off of the emotional appeal of people, as they always do. And people fall for that. They fall for emotional appeal. So it's just
true.
How that works. So.
And honestly, as a senator, he did more damage to the American people than anybody wants to really acknowledge with the 94 crime bill. And they say, well, oh, he's neutral, he's not going to hurt us. What do you think he's been doing for the last 30, 40 years? Like, that's his goal, is to hurt the people and to segregate people and to divide people.
Even if he personally didn't, I try to tell people, like, well, their signatures are on documents that do. So I don't know what to tell you.
Well, he wrote the
bill.
He wrote the 94 crime bill. He's the author.
Well, exactly. Exactly. And that's what I mean. Is like people don't understand. Like, oh, the Democrats are better. Are they? Chuck Schumer's better. Are you sure? Have you checked out Chuck Schumer's record? You haven't, have you? It's obvious the people who support Democrats have not checked out his record. So
these people we're going to vote for Joe Biden because Donald Trump is such a racist. It's like, wait a second. You're talking about the guy that is talking about racism and really isn't racist. Comparing that to the guy that actually wrote and codified racism, wrote the law that codified racism. And that has been my problem from the beginning of this. It's all about optics. These people care about more about what it looks like than what it actually is. Even the mask.
That's how you know
it's what it looks like more than what it actually is. Because when you delve into what it actually is, it doesn't stand on its own. Joe Biden is a perfect example of criminals getting away with their crimes and just never stopping the crimes. The Democratic Party told people in 2015 that they could pick their own primaries, they could pick their own nominees. And just because we donated money to them doesn't mean that they have to do what we told them to do. And people let them get away with it. and they voted for him anyway. And this is what you get when you let that kind of crime roll. This is what you get when don't stand up against that kind of crime, because that's exactly what they did. They picked their own primary.
Exactly
they picked their own nominee, and that's who you got in there now. And they cheated the whole country, and they got away with it.
We left them at our side. Let them do that too, because that was their legal defense in the DNC lawsuit. Their legal defense was, we have the right to pick who we want. So we said, okay, you're not going to pick who we want, then we're not voting for you. We will let Donald Trump in, and then we did. Sorry,
yeah,
honey.
But a lot of
that's
people
how that's
going to
work. So
and then they got amnesia and voted for him again.
And they're still defending them today, and that's why I try to tell people. Oh, you think Chuck Schumer's better than Donald Trump? You mean former Wall Street executive and Patriot Act voter twice, Chuck Schumer? That same guy, he's going to protect you, is he? He's going to do that, is he? So you're either in denial, a liar, or both. Which one is it? That's all there is to it.
I've heard people say that, well, he kind of regretted that and this and that, and so my question is, okay, with all of his executive orders and his mandates, why doesn't he go take his little pen out of his pocket and reverse the bill? Get rid of it. Let's be done with it then.
Right.
Yep.
You're in power.
Yep.
Let's be done. You know?
who's stopping you from going after pedophiles? Nobody. Nobody's. Why don't you do that? Why don't you do it? No, he won't do it because they're the ones getting away. That's what it is. And people won't acknowledge it. They're too scared to acknowledge. Because if they acknowledge it, then they have to change their opinion and their ideology. They have to question themselves. They have to acknowledge that they were duped and fooled. People don't like to acknowledge they're duped and fooled. They don't like to acknowledge it. They'd rather go down with the ship. They'll go down with it rather than admit fault in any capacity. So.
Right.
And so a lot of these people actually just have to go. Really, a lot of our thing is about survive. We just have to survive. Because a lot of these people that are opposed to us or trying to make us do something will be destroyed by the people they trust. They will be immediately.
Right.
The very second it's convenient. They'll be thrown to the dogs, and there'll be nothing they can do to help them. But we'll still be here because we didn't trust these people. We'll be in the background, staying away from the fight. You know, the whole point is to stay out as much out of it as you can, because the people that are really trying to get involved in it are not paying attention. They're just not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they're in any support of a government trying to, not even a government, a corporation pretending to be a government to do this to them, then they're already lost. They're already done. You can't help them like that. You just can't, you know? So.
Yeah. They're
it's
too
hard
far
to
gone.
Stay out of it, though, isn't it? Yeah, they're too far gone.
Yeah.
You can't do anything. You can't do anything for them. So.
Yeah. It's just sad to watch, though, especially when it's, you know, family, close friends, and people that otherwise you know are not bad people, you know. But to watch them succumb to this and the way that they've turned on other people is just...
Right.
Yeah.
It's been to watch them succumb to this and then start blaming other people and treating them like they're the danger. That's really the hardest part.
Yeah.
And remember, that's part of their goal. Part of their goal is to, destroy the family unit. They want to do that. They're purposely trying to do that on purpose. So just another means to destroy the family unit. They don't want us connected. If we're connected, we can't be stopped. So that's the plan. The plan is to separate people, separate them, keep them isolated from each other. So.
Yep.
When they tried this back with AIDS, Fauci was couching at that point back in the AIDS that husbands and wives shouldn't be sitting in the same room together if one person is infected. And there's no question in my mind he knew full well you weren't going to get AIDS by sitting in the room with someone. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, he knew.
So
of course he knew.
They've been trying to pull this for a long time. This isn't their first rodeo. You know, it's more successful.
You know, this was like the perfect setup for this, and they've taken everything that they've learned. I happen to be old enough to remember when AIDS and HIV, when that first hit, and the fear that was attached to that. Remember, they thought you could get it from hugging people.
I was a child who had no. There was no way for me to get it. I was a child. I was a young child. I was not sexually active. I wasn't being abused. There was no way for me to get it. And I was terrified. I was terrified of AIDS. They did such a good job of scaring us.
Scaring the shit out of us. They really did. It was
crazy.
Well, because they wouldn't even connect it to sexual activity. They were saying if you kiss somebody on the cheek, they could get, I remember that I was maybe 10 or 11 when that happened. And I remember the fear that was attached to that. And just that it was so illogical even then. And so
It traumatized people like me who were gay youth. We were absolutely traumatized by that. Because, I mean, yeah. we lost an entire generation of men, and we had no idea where they went, and we basically had to learn how to be gay all over again. Back from nothing.
Yeah.
We had no idols to look up to. There was nobody around. You know what I mean? So it was, we were terrified of even being gay adults, because we were like, are we going to get it? How do we get it? What do we do? Like, it was just, just chaos all day. So.
And they even tried to. And they even tried to blame it on an animal. They said that someone had sex with a monkey at that time, just like they used the bat this time.
They always do that.
Same exact tactic, you know?
and they have to do that because otherwise people will find out that there was a patent for the things they created on purpose and then gave to you.
Right.
That's why they do it.
Just like this.
So Ty, I was talking earlier about when you, before anyone else, called out this COVID thing as a threat. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Just like fill people in on that.
Oh, that was a bad month. It was me and like five other people. They were getting a lot of flack because we'd caught it early. We'd caught what they were doing early. We're like, oh, here's their catalyst. Here it is right here. They've been planning this catalyst for so long, and this was the perfect opportunity for it. It was perfect. And we could see what they were going to do. We could see it all, like the food shortages, all of it. We're like, oh, this is how they're going to use it. This is exactly how they're going to use it. And we knew people were going to fall for it, too, so we're like, that's why we were trying to get the message out early, December. It was December of 2019. And then Facebook was like, no, you can't tell anybody about this, and blah, blah, blah. This isn't true, and blah, blah, blah. We're like, yes, it is. It is true. And then it just stopped us from saying it for like months and months until March. And then all of a sudden everyone became the expert because they saw Sean Penn talk about it on CNN. So, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing because we were asking all these questions long before before it was even announced. We're like, where's the biohazard bin? Why are you letting people fly? Why are you letting, do you care about this? Why is there a patent for the virus? What's going on here? What's happening? So. But we were called crazy at that point. We were called completely crazy. But they were acting like we were presenting some information that was, like, illegal or wrong. I'm like, but BBC covered this live. Like, everybody watched them cover it. So how was that? Like, you'd be like, they changed history. They changed it. They kind of changed it to the way they want it to be after people – they gaslight the American people. They gaslight them. Over things that people saw happen live. You know what I mean? So
– right. And those same people are still calling you crazy. They're still calling you crazy today, I bet. It's still to this day.
Yeah, some people are.
Doesn't matter how much, precisely.
Yeah. They always will. So.
But the thing is, you see it coming, you warn people, and then they say you're crazy, you're neurotic, you're paranoid, and then it happens. Okay, see, I said this, and it's happening, and then you're still crazy, and then
you know what happens then? This is what happens to me every single time. Every single time I'm right, dead quiet. Absolutely dead quiet. Not a fucking word. Not a word. Completely silent.
Nope.
That's what I mean. This is what Noam Chomsky used to say all the time. Academics are the most dangerous people for that reason, because they're not held responsible for anything. The intellectuals are not held responsible. They can just take whatever side is the most consensus at the time and then move on. And then they'll take credit for the thing they were openly opposing when they realize the thing they were opposing is inevitable. They will eventually take that side and then be like, oh, I was always on that side. Oh, I didn't realize the la, la, la. So they just rationalize it away. That's all it is. That's always what it is every time.
Was that December or January? Was it December of that year?
It was December.
19?
It was December.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. December of 2019, yeah. Crazy, huh?
I think
everything would happen in a row.
Ty, why don't we prove it? Why don't we pull up that video? Oh, wait. Facebook deleted it. And then went further than that and deleted the whole profile. So this is what I'm saying, is that what happened to Ty was another precursor for everything that is following. What just happened, didn't YouTube just delete, like, hundreds of channels who say anything negative about?
Yes. Yep. Anything negative about anything, they will remove any, and they will call them, they labeled them all alt-right. That's how we knew there was something wrong. It was like everyone who's legitimately not a right winger was labeled alt right anyway, just because of, just as a dismissal term, much like conspiracy theorists or anything else that they like to say.
Well,
they just dismiss
yeah.
you and move on. So yeah, like when you're calling James Corbett, when you're calling James Corbett an alt writer, that means you're not paying attention. You're just not paying attention. That's all there is to it. So.
It's just so silly, nonsense.
And what they do is they push everybody to the same side by doing that. They push all of us together. They force us together by doing it.
Right.
So like everything.
And that's why we can truly claim that. And honestly, that's why we can truly claim when we say we've got 30%+ on our side. This is why we can do it. And it was by force. They forced us together. You know, Ty and
yep.
I both started off on the left. So did James Corbett, right? Then we've got all
yep.
of these other people on the right that we're not ever supposed to acknowledge because we're supposed to
yep.
dismiss them with, you know, by putting them in one of these boxes that we're not allowed to listen to. And so I'm so grateful
yeah.
that we have this audience that, like, this has nothing to do with politics, really. Honestly,
exactly.
Politics gets brought
exactly.
up. But the I said, you know, no matter what your political orientation is, I want you to call in and talk to me about your children and the fact that the government is force injecting our children. You know, like
yeah.
that's really a very important point. And you know what? This has been such an amazing show. I've never had this many callers. There has never been this many people interested in talking about this topic. It is something that we all think, you know, feel very passionately about. And at that point, political identities go out the window, you know?
Yeah. And it never really mattered. It was just, it's always topic to topic. Like, the topic changes how you should be. I mean, it's all about individual basis. This is why we're trying to get back to sovereignty and dissemination of information. Like, we want to be able to access things. Like, that's the part of the First Amendment, is the right to hear. We have the right to hear things that we do not want to hear. That we may not like. We have the right to do that. And so we need to focus on that. Like, we need to be able to talk to people again, because we're not allowed to. They're trying to control who we get to see and why and for how long. And that is the number one problem. That's where all the misinformation and hatred and anger, and that's where all that's coming from, is because we're not allowed to communicate openly. We have to be able to have that first. We have to. That is essential.
Right.
So.
And that's why we talk about, I know we're in the weeds here, but if people want to know how to fix this very important subject, it's this. We withdraw
yes.
consent. And we can't
study the antitrust Google lawsuit,
news.
Everyone. Yeah. You
exactly.
got to study the antitrust Google lawsuit. Go to Robert Barnes on Rumble. Everyone, robertbarneslaw.com. Robert Barnes is one of the leaders of this, litigators against this corporation pretending to be a government. Because they try to confuse you with law. And he's like, since he's an expert on this, he's like, no, here's what they're doing. you can tackle these people. There's a way to do it, but it has to be specific. Litigation is very, very specific. So you have to know what you're talking about. This is why it's important for everyone to know the law. You have to know it. It's important for you
right.
all to know it, because otherwise they're going to tell you what it is for you. The people you're fighting are
right.
going to tell you. So that's how they can get you. You're taking it on face value that they're telling you the truth, and you know they're not. So
right.
Everything they're doing right now is completely not only unconstitutional but immoral and wrong. That's just what it is. So, and if you don't know what your rights are as a sovereign, you're going to fall for it. You will fall. Oh, I guess they can make us do that. No, they can't. They have no such right. Otherwise, they would have already done it. That's why they haven't done it, because they can't do it. They can't do it. They have no right to do that. So even if they make a law, it could be a blue flag law where they can make it a law, but they can't enforce it. Because remember, you're an armed populace, so how are they going to make you do it? Oh, please come to Texas and make them do it. That'll be really cute. That'll be really funny to watch. So they're not
yeah.
going to do that. They can't do it. They wouldn't dare. So
yeah.
That's the benefit of having an armed populace. They can make Australia do it. They can make Britain do it, but they're not going to do that here. They will not do it. They know what the repercussions are if they even attempt it. So, but that's why they need the populace to turn on us. They need the populace to turn on us, because then the populace can make us do it. See, that's the reason. That's how they're doing it. So,
yeah.
Right.
You know what's funny is
you
I don't own a gun.
Yeah.
I don't. I would love to own a gun, but I don't own a gun. But it's still the most important bright there is, because when things really start going bad, we will have a way to defend ourselves like Australia does not have right now. The things that we're seeing coming out of Australia right now, it's because they don't. They can't protect themselves.
And, well, in my view, armed doesn't mean gun. It means armed. Like, if you were to defend your family, I will use a brick. I don't give a fuck what it is. So if these people think that we're just gonna use certain weapons to defend our family. No, I will use anything. I'll use paper clips. We'll be MacGyver in this thing. I'm not here playing that game. So it's defense, honey. Defense. That's how that works. So these people highly underestimate the level of survival that we will do to survive. We will survive at all costs. So if I have to take you down to do it, I will. So that's just what it is. They're playing with fire. They're playing with fire, and they're going to get burned. So they need to be very cautious. So that is the benefit of the American population.
I will survive right now, because that would be an amazing background song right now. Because it's true. We're going to do what we need to do to survive. That's how it works.
Yeah, and
that doesn't necessarily
and we're
gonna
do it positively.
Mean violence.
Not at all. No, and we're going to do it in positivity and humor and glowing. And that's exactly how we're going to do it. That's what they don't want. They don't want us to be positive in building our own platforms and our own foundations. They don't want us to have a solid foundation away from them. That's what they don't want. That's
Correct.
What they're scared of. If we start building a foundation away from them, then they're done. They're done. They can't do anything about it. So,
and that's why
they need consent.
That's why exactly. And that's why everybody on this call, except for Ty in Colorado, we can send him some grow lights. But everybody on this call right now, we live in Eden. We live in the best. Like, if we can't, we're never going to succeed. We're never going to stand on our own 2 feet if we can't feed ourselves. And it's so easy to do, especially where we live. Ty, it's a little bit more tricky where Ty lives, but people know how to grow food where Ty lives, right? You need to get your
we have plenty of fresh water and plenty of other stuff. We can survive here pretty well, though, surprisingly. It's not that bad of a temperature here. I mean, we are in the mountains. Like, it's great water, great air quality. Like, it's not bad. It's really not that bad. So,
well, you're talking
people, but
three
also,
from
but also
San
people
Diego.
Have to take responsibility for it. So.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking to some people in San Diego. Like, we, you know, it's like, I think it's more, I mean, not more important, but very important that San Diego takes back their community. Like, we have to do it. Either that or we have to leave. And we have to go to the cold. You know? Like,
right.
Do we really want to go to the cold? I really...
That's going to start the movement.
I don't know. That's
thinking we have to buy a snow jacket.
And I actually do kind of feel bad about the Californians, because, I mean, you guys are just covered in – you're just saturated in neoliberal corporate garbage. I just feel –
oh, my
God, I mean, because at least in Colorado, like, we actually have a – we're actually quite reserved. Like, Colorado Springs is like – that's why I perform in Colorado Springs, because they're like, what vaccination? I'm like, thank God for you people. It's fantastic,
right.
Honey.
That's
it's fantastic. Amazing. I love it. So,
well, the problem
it's
is that
lovely.
Everyone's leaving California that isn't like that.
I'm not.
So everyone is basically.
I'm not.
I know, and Danielle, and I even said to Danielle, I was going to leave, and she's like, you got to stay. But, you know, my brother, he left, and he keeps texting me like, it's lost. It's a lost cause. California's lost. It's done. You know, and that's what people have started to come to the conclusion of, California is lost cause. And so people that are starting to just leave, that's becoming part of the problem, is no one is staying and fighting anymore. They're just leaving.
Indeed. And they can only fight for so long. Only certain people can fight for so long. And that's just what it is. That's the only reason I'm still in Denver. People are like, how are you still trying to perform in Denver? I'm like, because I refuse to leave. I'm stubborn. So, like, they need to see dissent. They need to encounter dissent. But at a certain point, I can't do it. Like, there's nothing I can do at a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I'm in performing in Colorado Springs, because Denver just won't have it. They're just not having it. So,
yeah.
But, I mean, I will stay as long as I can. Like, you'll stay as long as you can, but at a certain point, you have to know when to fight and when not to. You know, live to fight another day.
Right.
Kind of thing, so.
Well, and again, they're coming.
I think there's enough patriots. I think there's enough patriots in San Diego, in Southern California, to beat this, to be honest. I really do. I know it's not reflected by numbers, but because I can say it, California's been cheating for a really long time when it comes to the polls. So
And things can, remember, things can be reversed, and you can always fix it. It can't always be fixed, but you might have to go through the initial, you know, slaughter at the first, and then. But things can they always circle back. You know what I mean? Like it's as above, so below; as within, so without. So, like there's a consequence for them winning as well. As they learned through championing Obama, there's a consequence for them winning that. Because they won it, but then all of a sudden, when all those policies that Obama signed in 2012 were enacted under Trump, all of a sudden that was a problem. Well, then maybe you should have championed Obama then, because they thought he was just all good news. Well, clearly he wasn't.
Right.
Clearly those hens were going to come to roost at some point. So, as we tell people, any weapon that you propose against someone else will be used on you in potentia. It will. So just wait for it.
Yep.
Wait for it out, because I mean that's what the cabal waits. They wait us out. They will wait our outrage, our despair. They'll wait it. They'll just wait until we, you know what I mean, until they need to act. So that's what we need to do too. We need to be patient. We have to be patient. This is not going to be something we're going to get done in like 2 days or 3 months. It's just not going to happen. We have to be able to outwait this as long as possible, because it's just that. Well, what else do we have to do? We have nothing else to do with this. So I mean, this is our future here. So you know.
I think the biggest way to show that there could be election fraud is that if you look at the elite people that rule, they no longer care about their popularity. They don't care about what people want. They don't they don't take into any consideration what it's almost like they don't need your vote.
That's why they're being brazen, and they're daring you. They're daring you to your face to do something. They're like, do something about it. What are you gonna do? What are you going to do about it? That's why they're acting this way, because they're brazen. And also because they're losing. They don't get this way unless they're losing. I mean, they're rushing now, because now they see that people are catching on. So they have to speed it up. They have to keep speeding it up, because otherwise they'll lose it. They will lose it eventually. So it's just a matter of when they do so, but eventually they will. It's coming now. Because the more they start coming against their own side, it's going to be people are going to be like, wait, what's going on now? Because people don't get involved until it affects them. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I see what happened. I see what's going on.
Yeah.
But once people realize this is a corporation pretending to be a government, it's done. So.
Absolutely. Well, okay, we have a caller. I don't know. Okay. Caller, if you have not pushed one, please press one. I don't know. I think maybe I need a little crash course in this. But let's see if I can bring them on. The 909. Let's see. Hi, 909 callers. Are you there? And done. Okay. Call dropped. Oops. Okay. All right. So,
Mulligan.
I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. But please continue. Whoever wants to speak.
I love the calling in thing. This is great. I don't know why. This is fantastic. It's so much better than a live
on. I'm a little worried. I've got like two calls that dropped, and I don't like that. So I don't know what's going on.
Hopefully,
anyway,
hopefully it's not
continue.
Me.
I don't think it's you. I think it's me, not you.
Well, still though, it's great. It's really great. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. But that really is the moral of this story, is that, you know, doesn't matter where you are, if you're in San Diego and you're facing this mandate, just don't comply and see what happens. And I really do. That's my message, is that, and that is the most peaceful message that I think anyone can suggest, is that you're not you're not being violent. You're just saying no. And I don't believe that if you really think that saying no is going to, get your child kicked out of school, then afterwards take the vaccine, right? But at this point, right now, is the time to say no. I would say no anyway. Like, I'm ride or die. I'm not doing
me too,
a vaccine. There's a 99.9% chance that vaccine is going nowhere near my children. So
indeed.
Yeah.
And I like the people are calling it the jab or call it whatever it is, but do not call it a vaccine, because it is not. It is not a vaccine at all. It is not factual.
It's a therapeutic. I heard a doctor say it's a therapeutic is what it is. It's a therapeutic.
It's
the real definition of
it's a gene therapy.
Thank you. It's yeah, call them therapeutic. and also, not only just resist, but document. It's very important for you to archive and document everything that happens to you. Because then when you present it, when you present that information later in court or anywhere else, you have that data trail. And then people don't need to take your word for it. You need physical documentation for what has happened to you. That's also how you can win your appeals in court. Like if they fire you and all, you need to document what they do. Just document it. That's all there is to it. And then later you can present it. That's all there is to it. Archive. That is essentially the key. So.
And I see my other thing is Danielle has really inspired and taught me a lot about this is that. The truth is that leaving and not staying and fighting, like Danielle was talking about at the beginning of the show, is that if we don't hold the line in California and New York, it's going to be widespread. This is not going to end. If I go and move to another state to escape this, it's just a Band-Aid because it's coming to that state too. The mask mandates may have started in California, but there's mask mandates in every state, in every school pretty much. It didn't just stay, the mask mandate never stayed in California. So if you don't think that this back mandate is coming to Tennessee and Texas and all, you can't hide. You can run, but you can't hide, you know?
And what's worse is if everybody leaves to the same place, then they've rounded you all into one state, which is even worse.
True.
You want to be dispersed so they can't get all of us. You want to be dispersed so they can't get all of us. You want to be dispersed
around.
That's
a great point.
Dispersed.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
And all we need is 3%. We're so far above 3%. Now the only problem that we face as a movement. That's why I don't know about you, Ty, but I feel giddy. Like I feel like we won something. I feel like you know, we've got so many parents on our side that this is never going to hold, right? And so I really do feel like for the first time, we need 3% of the population to be on board with this. We have about 30. We are so far ahead of this that we should. I'm not saying to be weary of the plan and watchful and archive, but we won. We just can't be violent. They're trying to make us violent. They want us to be violent. They want to look at PTAs as violent terrorist extremists because they want something for their school district. That's what they're trying to do. We can see ahead of that and we can make sure that this thing, are you really saying that I'm a domestic terrorist because I want to plant food?
Extremist canning, darling. Extremist canning.
That's precisely.
Well, that's what I mean. See, laugh it off. The whole point is to stay positive. And if you're not positive and happy, they're gonna use it against you. That's the whole point. Is that good
they're
news is always
it
there. It's
you.
Just not reported. There's good news all the time. It's all over the place. It's just not highlighted because it doesn't give control or money to these people. That's the only reason. But it's there all the time, everywhere. It's all over the place. So I don't want people to think because they're not hearing good news that it isn't happening. Like, well, what's going on in Montana? You don't know, do you? Then why are you saying what's happening? You don't know. There's plenty of good stuff happening. You just don't know it. You just don't know. That's just what it is. So I don't want people to think that they should give up or anything. They want you to give up. They want you to acquiesce to them. So the more you don't do that, that's why it's give me liberty or give me death. I may die, but that's all I shall do for death. I shall do nothing else.
Right.
Nothing else. They'll have to kill me. That's all there is to it. Because I'm going to remain happy and positive and love and vibration all day long, blessed and highly favored.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all there is to it. So you just have to have resolve. You have to have conviction, you know? So.
Yeah.
Well, and
we were all.
Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, let me. Throughout this show, I think, you're going to realize how many industries that we have infiltrated, right? We've got people from every industry willing to lend their energy to making sure that people have what they need, regardless of what the government is saying and doing. We actually, at this point, we can kind of almost snicker and brag a little bit that we are not only well-versed in what the enemy is trying to do, but we have people counteracting it on virtually every level. That doesn't mean we don't need
yeah.
people to join in, but we do have, communities in every industry. There is no industry, really, virtually no industry that, that we could, besides, sex trafficking. We're not going to deal in that. But every other industry, food, news, health, energy, housing, all of it, we have insiders that are already working collectively for us. And
that's the benefit of being underground. Yeah, that's the benefit of being underground is that we are underground. And remember, the black market is legal. It's not going anywhere. It's still here as big as ever. So we can get fake passports. There's a lot of stuff that can be happening. So like if they think they're going to win this way easily just from the mainstream, then people aren't paying attention because underground is always here. That's where whistleblowers and everybody else is. They're still there. They didn't go away because people ignore
them. The information desk.
There. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's
right.
What they came to
the
us
information
after
desk.
After this happened. Yeah, after this happened, everybody came to us. Why? Because we were the underground. We had all the information when people didn't have it. We still have it. It's just people were ignoring us. We're still there. Russell J. Gold is still there. Everybody's still there. Nobody went away. So it's just there'll be a time when they have to come to us. They'll be stuck. They'll be forced to come to us. And then they'll, and that's just what it is. That's exactly how they woke up. Is that only certain people have it, and they'll have to go to those people to get it. It's that simple. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not a threat.
You have no, like, the light is on our side. We do know
yep.
how this ends, and violence we won't have to have any violence as part of it. As a matter of fact, if there's
yep.
if people are thinking violent, other than defense of own property, there is
right.
no reason that we need to win with violence, right?
Not at all. Revolution is an idea pitched by them. Yeah. Revolution is always an idea pitched by these people. Don't do it. Don't fall for it.
Right.
they know
they're
how to
never
deal with
going
violence.
To teach us. Yeah, they're not going to. That side is not going to teach us how to have a revolution because they've already studied the counter revolution. So what we
yeah.
really need to do is counteract hate with love and creation. We need to grow food.
Yes.
We need to grow communities.
Yes.
We need to grow information networks. We need to grow
yeah.
health care communities. These are the things. We need housing communities and, energy communities, all of these things. That's what we have been growing, and so much more to come. They have no idea what they did by trying to force parents into this because they poked
indeed,
the hive.
Indeed. And they have no – well, and you only have time to do one. You can either destroy or create, but you can't do both. So you have to pick. So I'm picking creation. I'm picking creation every day. So,
yeah, when that mandate came out, I was furious. I was absolutely furious when that mandate came out. And now that I've had a few days to settle and get my emotions out of it, because you never can make decisions when you're in an emotional state, of course. You have
Correct.
To be
Correct.
Calm, cool, and collected. So when I was able to
yep.
get my emotions out of it and get the fear out of it, because that was like, what are you going to do to my kid? It may be a blessing in disguise because they may have gone too far this time, because a lot of people are like, don't bring that shit near my kids and don't tell me what I have to do with my kids. And so this may be, this may be the point where people are finally like, no, that may be where they're finally
yeah.
going to say, we're not doing this.
Yes.
We have
yes.
to hold the line.
To the point.
Now they're asking questions. Now they're asking, they're like, well, how do we protect? And then they start learning about the birth certificate fraud, and they start asking questions. And that's the whole point is to get
yeah.
them curious, ask questions. And then when their questions aren't answered, there you go. Because remember, the truth doesn't need defending. Only lies do. Lies need defending.
Right.
The truth stands on its own. You don't have to do anything for the truth.
Right.
So lies need reinforcement and energy and resources, and eventually they will run out of it. They will expand themselves too far to do it. That's exactly what it is. So let them drain themselves. Drain them. That's why I tell them, expand your lie. Waste resources
yeah.
on your lie. Do it. And then they eventually have to give it up. They eventually do. So.
Well, the flu is way more deadly to children. We've never had to give – my children have never had a flu shot. I've never had to give a flu shot to my child to go to school. So if we're following the science here, why again is this the science? It just doesn't make any sense, And people know this. They're not stupid. And now it's like your lives are going to be interrupted. You can't hide from this. There's been a lot of people out there that even that do know what's happening are hiding from it because they're just hoping it's going to go away. But they keep moving and pushing you further. Now they're backing you in a corner. So what are you going to do? Are you going to sit down or are you going to stand up? And those are your two options, really.
Many will sit down. Many will acquiesce. They will order, they will be order followers. They will. Because they don't know what else to do. So they will do it. They're trained to do that. So as you need to be aware of them. I'm aware of who those people are, and that's why I treat them with like reverence and like I appreciate their time because I know they're not going to be here much longer. I just know they're not going to. I mean,
you have the people that are just not that are just wanting to sit. You have the people that are actually crazy that are believing in the lies that are so, I don't like saying brainwashed. I don't know what to say, what to call them.
Manipulated.
Trauma-based mind controlled.
Thank you, Danielle.
Yeah.
You always remind me of that, and you're right. But they're so in it that they believe. They really believe in it. It's a cult. It's a cult following.
It's a cult.
A religious cult that this has become. And
Remember what we called them? The COVIDians.
So the cults throughout time of what was that cult here in California where they all like killed themselves in a house or whatever? This is what cults do. They convince you to destroy yourself from within and from without. You know, they convince you to destroy yourself. That's what this cult is doing to some people. So you have that group, but then you have the group of people that just aren't willing to stand up, that are just want to just sit down and just give me my life back and let's hope this all goes away.
Exactly. Because remember, this is satanic ritual abuse. This is exactly what this is. It's a satanic ritual. It's a gigantic satanic ritual. So,
and they use disruption
and trauma. That's exactly what they use. Yep.
I think a lot more people are going to succumb to logic and reason than a vaccination that is unnecessary for their children. Honestly.
Yeah.
I think that right now is the time to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it. But we also kind of have to trust the process that with the amount of children that are being threatened with, you know, disenrolling from school, I think a lot of parents are going to actually say no. And all, really, like, there is no action required in saying no. No is a complete sentence, right?
Yeah.
You don't – the only thing you have to do is not – comply. There is no violence in that act, and I want everybody to realize that.
Yes, that is your right. You have the right to contract or not contract with as many people as you wish. That's all there is to it. That is a right that you have. So that's all there is to it. You do not have to contract with these people at all. You have no obligation to do any such thing. So,
once the people that do sit down and their kids start dying, because if they start doing this to 5, 6, 7-year-olds, kids are going to start dying. It's going to be a completely different thing when a country watches their children dying versus their grandma. You know, and I'm sorry. I'm not saying every single life has value, no matter what state. You know, I believe that. But it's very different when you're watching 5 and 6-year-olds being murdered than when you see grandma being murdered. It's going to trigger something. So bottom line is if they do this, they're going to kill off a lot of kids, and that's going to trigger people, but, you know.
And there's also this aspect of it, too, that it's not necessarily instant death. You know, we will have some of that, but there's also going to be long-term effects like reproductive stuff, right? We know that
injury, right.
You know, exactly. And so what does that do to our chance of reproducing, our baby's chances of reproducing? And that's really something that's going to be hidden from the population, you know, and obviously these children are from as early as 5, right, you know, up to 17. We have a long span to see what happens with this mass injection.
The consequences from this are going to be uncountable consequences from this, and we will never even be able to fathom how much damage this PSYOP has done. It's just absolutely incredible. But it needed to wake the populace up because we've been in a dead sleep for generations, and we need to snap out of it. It's time for us to kind of lift those veils and kind of get it out. I mean, we're still treating this government as if it is one, and it isn't. That's why the only reason this is happening is because it's a corporation. Governments don't have this ability. They would have never been able to do it, but a corporation can. That's why it's able to be done. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. People are treating this de facto government as a de jure government. And as long as we treat this as a real government, they can do whatever they want. Because we're giving them that control. We're giving it to them. So we have to take that back. We have to realize what they are and then pressure them into backing down, which we can do. But if people think this is a real government, then they're going to take it seriously. But it isn't. It's literally a corporation. Literally. That's literally what it is. So... And they'll realize, they don't have to do it, and that's why I had people coming to me going, I remember when you said the Department of Education was unconstitutional. Now you know why. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now you know why.
Right.
That's exactly why. Because now they can use they can use school as a reason to get your children. They can use anything. So. Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really infuriating, especially to people, parents with older children, right? Like Annette actually has children who are in their prime and, you know, we're living very normal lives and very fulfilled lives, you know, within the system before it crashed. And it's like, how do you make up for that? How do you, or Connie, I don't want to really go into your situation too much, but I feel like your situation is a lot like Annette's situation where you really have benefited from this promise of a higher education, you know, and a fulfilled childhood. And here we are at this, huge roadblock. And how do we get past this? How do we remedy this? And it's such a bigger conversation than this.
Yeah, I would say so. Hits the positivity, right? That's what I'm doing. Because I realize I can't save my mother. I can't save all these people. So what I'm doing is I'm appreciating the time that I have with them. I'm making it as pleasant and glowing and bright as possible. Because there's no other solution for them. Because I can't force them to believe what they don't want to believe. I can't make them do anything. So what I can do is just be as pleasant and light-giving as I can while I'm still here with these people. So that way at least we have that. At least we have that as a memory or something to hold on to, you know? Yeah, just make it positive. Make turn everything into a positive. Do what the rich do. Turn your liabilities into assets. You know what I mean? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be using what you have to the best of your ability. You may not have all of it, but you have what you do have. You're not destitute. The fact that we can even do this right now is itself miraculous. So like we should be able to we're utilizing it. We're utilizing it as positively as we can. And when everybody does that collectively, that is phenomenal. That's how you grow and build foundations from the bottom up. So that way when people fall, they don't fall into the systematic abyss. You can catch them and then bring them up with you and use their benefits and their talents for the benefit of the whole. That's exactly how that works. Exactly how it's done.
Right.
So
correct. And so people say that it's pretty low-hanging fruit, pun intended, to start with giving back resources, starting with food. But it really is when you talk about that bit, right? People will be fed regardless. That's one resource at that, you know, in this abyss of taking back everything that's been stolen from us resource-wise. That's one bit that we can give back to the population so that, you know, no matter what, we can have access to quality fruits and vegetables and, you know, even dairy, chicken, food, right? Basic, back to the basic. I'm not saying free McDonald's for all, but at least people will have the choice, you know, the choice in this wonderful world of choices, not world, countries, right? To either eat it from a fast food restaurant or eat it from, you know, the side of the road where, you know, and I think that once we take back that resource, it's more of a catalyst for the rest, right? For what
it
comes
is.
Next.
It is.
Which is everything else.
How do you take back water?
The people at the top are doing that. People at the top are already doing that. So, I mean, they already do the things that we're trying to do. Like, they don't eat GMO foods. They don't take vaccines. They don't do any of that. So that's exactly the point.
Right.
We need to be doing what they're doing, too. So,
How do we take, how do we take back water? We have desal plants all over the place. We can even go to the ocean with water makers and get, you know, this is an individual thing. I would love to get
You can collect rainwater and filter. There's a lot of things, aquaporic stuff. There's a lot of stuff you can do. But if you don't realize that your water aquifer is bought and controlled by Nestle, you're not going to, you know what I mean? People think everything's going to be provided for them by somebody else. And I'm like, well, that's not their responsibility. So the people that take responsibility for it get to determine how it's working and how much it costs, how it's distributed, what the waste disposal of it, they get to determine all of it. That's why it's so important for everyone to realize that it's their responsibility to take back everything for themselves. It's not everybody else's. Nobody's going to provide it for you. There is no free lunch. That's not a thing. You know what I mean?
No. Well, like, and it's also why there's places where it's illegal to collect rainwater. I mean, how is that?
Yep, like here.
How is it illegal?
Like here, yeah.
What?
Yep.
How is it illegal to collect rainwater? It's falling from the
sky. I know, huh? I know. It's crazy, huh?
I can't even understand how someone can defend that position. It makes absolutely position.
Because nobody was paying attention.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know what it is. They're hoping that they'll use the fear of the other against you. Well, what if somebody poisons your water? What if this happens? What if this? It's a what if. It's a what if. They're hoping that people are separated, and that's the whole issue. If everybody was in control of their own water resources, fashion, where would the disparity come from? Where would anybody need to seek something from somebody else? They wouldn't. That's the whole thing, artificial disparity, artificial monopolies. That's the whole point. They're creating problems, a Hegelian dialectic. They create the problem, then offer you the solution to the problem they created.
Right?
That's exactly what it is. They're making you dependent on them. That's the whole point of industries. Industries are separated from each other so that they can be the middleman that collects all of that together. That's the whole point. Right. They want everyone separated from each other, because that way if they realize that they could actually all work together, there would be no need for the cabal. There'd be no need for higher-ups. They only exist because we want them there, because we won't do it ourselves. We don't want to do it. We don't want to take the personal responsibility and time and effort to do that. So that's what it is. We think we're going to get
and
out
they've
of
never taught us, either. That's the other thing.
Exactly. They're relying on convenience.
Never taken the
they're
time
relying
to
on convenience.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. They want convenience. If it's convenient, we will fall for convenience. We will fall for it every time. Every single time.
That's
so.
Obvious. Yep.
That's the traps. That's the traps. Realize the traps are... They're appealing to our desires. They're appealing to our desires. That's what it is. So our desires don't just become good because there was something we desire. They can use our desires as a weapon against us. So we have to be very caught. That's why it's more important that we reform our own behavior and mind. That's what we have to reform ourselves, because then we don't fall for the traps in the first place, as opposed to having to fix the traps afterwards after we're already in them. You know what I mean? We're trying to avoid the traps from the very beginning. That's the point. So...
Precisely. You know, at the very beginning of this show, Ty and I talked about how it was very hard to articulate exactly what we're trying to do and what we're trying to express to people, to our audience. And Ty just so eloquently did it. And there's no other way around, you know, dismantling the system that we've built, and realizing that our energy is tied up in all of this stuff, right? Realizing like simple things like, you know, we want people going in and checking groceries, right? And paying somebody else to watch their children, right? That's one thing that we are buying into this system. It's for some people, it takes all of their energy to support, you know, not things, you know, options that they did not choose. And there's still, you know, all of their energy is wrapped up into that, right? Into supporting the system. And now, you know, but now when we're faced with our babies and the safety of our babies, the imminent safety of our babies, I really do feel positive about how we go forward. And I believe that New York and California are going to hold the line when it comes to these vaccines, these experimental gene therapies that they're trying to force into our children's arms. And I,
where was it?
I'm here, but I don't hear Danielle.
Hello, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Now you cut out.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I cut out for a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That happens.
anyway, but that's the most powerful thing that we can do right now is protect our babies. And not compliant obviously is a nonviolent thing, opposite violence. It's just not doing it, noncompliant.
And waiting for the system to collapse, which it is. That's also why this is happening, because the system is collapsing. Their fake artificial corporate system of control is collapsing. Whether people see it or not is irrelevant, because it is happening. It is happening right before our eyes. So it's just a matter of waiting them out. We just have to wait. We just have to keep waiting and being patient and stoic and positive. We have to remain positive. If we give up morale, it's done. We cannot give up morale. That is essential. It is absolutely essential. Once you give up morale, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing to do once morale is up. Sun Tzu's Art of War. I'm trying to tell you. Don't give up morale, because then it's done. It's done once that happens. So.
Well, and that's the thing, though, is that's what they've attacked first. I think it was Connie that was talking about the psychological warfare that they've attacked on us for the last year, and that's what they've done. And being, you know, and like I'm in management and work, and just seeing the morale of my employees, and it's widespread. It's every single business. Everyone is just in the hole right now. Everybody's in the dark place. Nobody can see the light right now. And that's what they've done. They've taken the country's morale from them. And, you know, now they want to take our bodies from us and our children. And, you know, they just keep digging in. And so, Ty, are you saying you think they're panicking? You think this is a panic move because, like you said, it is collapsing.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're having to accelerate.
Yes, it is. And people are trying to figure out the ruse of what's going on. This is a corporation that they've been bankrupt since 2000. And people are starting to put out warrants for people in the correct way. We're starting to file correctly, and we're starting to learn. And so now
they're
speeding up the process of psychological abuse. Oh, I see. So now they're speeding up the process of psychological abuse because they see that it's coming. Because remember, it's always darkest before dawn. It's always darkest before dawn. That's exactly what it is. Twilight. We're in the twilight hours, darling. So this is what this is. And everybody already had their great deluge earlier when this first happened. Everybody was stuck in their house having to face the dark night of the soul. So everybody's come to the, you know, they've come to their dark selves and what's going on. So it's woken up too many people. So now too many people know what's going on now. And so now we're coming for them. Now we're coming slowly, but we are coming, and they see it. They do see it, and they're trying to mitigate how they go down. You see what I'm saying? So that's why they're throwing people to the front first. Now it's Fauci. Now it's this person. Now they just throw. Remember, they have rings within rings within rings of people. They're layered. They're protected. So they'll throw the first ring out, then the second ring out, then the third ring out, and so the people at the very very top will be the very very last people you get, the very very last ones, if you even do. So
we don't even know who they are right now.
And you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. That's why they don't have a name or anything. That's why I keep trying to tell people, don't fight them, because you're wasting your own energy. They want you to fight them because then you're wasting time not creating anything. Because if you destroy them, then you have nothing left. You've nothing. You've nowhere to go because you haven't built anything. You've no foundation. So that's the whole point. They're hoping that you fight them. They want you to do that. They want you to focus all of your attention and energy on them, because then you can't build anything with anybody else. So that's the whole point, is to retract away from them entirely. Just retract away. You know what I mean? Like acknowledge what they're doing, but don't do anything to. Don't threaten them. Don't do anything like that. Just stay away and build with other people, because those are the people they come for. They come from people that build. They don't come from destroyers. They come for builders. They don't want people to build separate from them. That's the number one key. Build separate from them. Build your community, build your business, build your sovereignty, build your alliances, build your networks. Build them, build them, build them, as high up as they will go. And then you can't be stopped. There's nothing they can do. You'll be protected. And sort of how I was been able to survive is because I had built enough of a strong foundation that even when I did lose platforms or whatever, anytime I started again, there's those thousands of people again. There they are again. So,
hi, guys. We just got the 90-second mark, so...
Oh, good.
Good.
Wow, we did that, huh?
Yeah.
That was
Now, that was a show, honey. That was a show. So.
Well, let me just take over from here. Thanks. We're in the last minute, and I really do want to thank everybody who called in. If you couldn't call in this week, please call in next week. We just want to hear all of the voices. Everybody here today, everybody who called in was, you know, made just an amazing contribution to this movement. But so next, up next is actually Lori Ann and Dahl, the Lucid Libertarian. And she's going to be on in about 30 seconds. So, you know, tune in there. They're actually going to continue this same conversation. So I love you all. Thank you all for calling. Share this if you can. And we'll talk to you all next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
See y'all.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.